welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
A lot of show today. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. We're going to play a spirited round of rich man, poor man. These are things that rich people and poor people have in common. I'm just setting that up so you can line up your comments, questions. So you can contribute to rich man, poor man, 866-901-ADAM. An example is, we've talked about it before, not using a wallet. The middle class uses a wallet. Rich guys have silver money clips that are monogrammed. Poor guys have balls of singles and fives balled up and put in their windbreaker, but no wallet. That's a rich man, poor man. Rich people share it. Poor people share it. Stacey Galandi's here, by the way, again.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because we've had a new person sometimes to a show, it seems like, doing the news. And we finally settled on Teresa Strasser. But by the time we told her, she'd already booked up things for later on this week. So even though she officially started Monday, that was her first official day on the job, her first official vacation day was Wednesday of the same week.
Right. But also, Stacey,
you guys are so generous.
What a gig.
You
I know.
You shouldn't feel, Stacey, though, as though you were passed over.
No.
I don't want you to sit here and think gay.
That's clear. No. Stacey was never good enough to be in the running. No. I agree with Dave.
Right.
Thank
you. Do not look at that as a slight.
No, Stacey.
So thick-skinned.
Far too busy, far too attractive, far too talented, far too fill in the blank. Has far too much dignity. You can do has far too much and far too. They'll
not
both
true.
Work. Fill in the blank to
I
be here.
Stay away. I had to come back.
We're excited to have you and thank you for filling in so we don't have to have Def Rat Guy talking about his potato gun for 4 hours.
I missed you guys.
It's good for 3 hours and 25 minutes, but not four.
Well, you've said that we have a lot of show today.
Yes.
Before the show started, we had a lot of tattitude.
Yeah.
Fat Tad and Brusca the lesbian went head to head again.
I saw some tad a crack as I walked in.
Are you gonna
I was looking at about 4 inches of tad crack as I walked in. Uh oh, Tad's PO'd.
Why are you mad at me?
I have nothing to do with it.
You didn't have to bring that up.
I didn't have to. You're right.
I was late this morning and I apologize.
Oh,
sorry.
Look, anybody can be late once. That's the point.
No.
Ruska will talk to him once and only once about it, and that'll be that.
No, I've been late many times.
Well, what happened?
I mean, you don't. I had to stop and get gas this morning.
And yeah.
I was running late. Sorry.
Come on, what a better excuse than that, please.
I had a bad stomach and I was trying to find you flowers this morning.
All right.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
All right. That's enough. I want to play rich man, poor man. Don't get me going on Tad. Pat O'Brien's going to be part of the show. Oh, we got a little limerick war between Dave's cousin and his arch nemesis, Mark the Poet. We're going to play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About, Stacey. I don't know if you've seen What Can't Adam Complain About. It is divine. Divine.
Is everything is out there, right?
It's everything is grist for my mill. You may never want to leave after you see What Can't Adam Complain About.
I'd like to see what you can't complain about.
Isn't that what I said? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we're going to do. Doug the intern, he's from Bangladesh or somewhere, but he's very hip and Americanized, so he's going to come in, do a little Hollywood happenings with us. Dave has his jerk report. Scott and Rob Niedermeyer are going to be in here from the Mighty Ducks, actually calling in during Dave's sports. Comedian Jeff Ross, King of the Roast, and then 13-year-old comedian Christian coming in the flesh. Geez, I wonder what he looks like. I never really thought about it.
It's going to be interesting. I can't conjure what 13 looks like anymore.
Yeah, I know. I go from 9 to 49.
I'm always
shocked. I don't
have
in between.
Yeah, certain people, certain adults can look at kids and say, what are you, in about the 6th grade? And they go, yeah, I could guess somewhere between 6th grade and sophomore in college.
Yeah.
I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I do that too. I'm like, hey, little girlie, how old are you? And she's like, I'm your mom, douche. Obviously, I'm older than you are.
Hey, I hope Doug the intern's going to bring in some clips if he's doing Hollywood happenings. Last night on Extra, I saw, I don't want to step on Pat O'Brien with his big show, The Insider, but on Extra, our own intern, Larissa, was out with Nick Cannon on a blind date. I was watching, and all of a sudden, there's Larissa the intern going out with Nick Cannon. Can't wait to hear what the story is with that.
Yeah, I saw that advertised over the weekend, but I didn't see it. Didn't see it last night. All right, so Rich Man, Poor Man, a game sweeping the nation. It started off it was about 2.5 years ago when I was at the writer's table over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, listening to everyone else's endless comedy pitches for tonight's monologue, filling myself on free Chinese food, and my mind was drifting off, and I think the very first thought I had was outdoor showers. I thought, if you have an outdoor shower, you're either very rich or filthy poor, dirt poor. And then I started thinking of other things that meant you were either very rich or poor. And there's some weird ones, like weird facial hair. Mm-hmm. Is a rich dude and a poor, you know, a lord might have that thing where his pork chop sideburns are connected with his mustache, but no beard. And then you got your poor guy, goatee or whatever, the weird hair, the Donald Trump sort of comb over weird, even weird, even men dyeing their hair is kind of a rich man, poor man. But owning a horse or horses, multiple cars. The middle class does not have multiple cars. Poor guys have a couple cars on blocks, on the lawn, and some El Camino they're perpetually doing body work on, and then rich guys, well, they have their 10-car garage.
Well, this has caught on with the the listeners. And here, listen to some of these the people wrote in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. Jeff from Seattle writes in and says that in poor families and rich families, adult kids live at home with the parents.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you have the super flunky. Yeah, one is because the kid's strung out on meth and he dropped out of high school and he's essentially unemployable. Wait a minute, Big Ted. I was thinking of Big Ted. At least if he was strung out on meth, he wouldn't be morbidly obese. But, yeah, there's the Big Ted syndrome, and then there's the one where the house is so big you can go live on in another wing. I mean, the rich guy's kids live above the pool. They live out in the pool cottage or whatever. But they're F-ups, too. They're flunkies, too. It's just they don't have to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Also, Hank from Denver. No socks.
Yes. True, yes. The poor people have no socks because they can't afford it. And then the rich guys have that look. It's the worst look a guy can have for my money.
I couldn't agree more. I hate that.
You see them at the... They're sort of... All right, here's the look. You have the Lacoste shirt, the Izod-type shirt. You have the very expensive shorts. And then you have the no socks, and then you have the loafers with the tassel, and that same guy's holding a cigar most of the time. He has a little bit of a gut, but he seems to have a decent... That guy has nice calves, and he sort of knows it. His legs are tan and look sort of muscular, even though he has a little bit of a gut on him. You're trying to think whether you could take him or not. He's a
calling all homos.
He's a dentist. He's a doctor. He's an attorney. Whatever it is, he's an authority. Guys like that are blowhards. They know they're going to explain to you everything about sports and then everything about finance. And they're never tall guys. They're usually a little bit shorter. Always have an expensive cigar. And you see them hanging around some baseball memorabilia at a silent auction. That's what they're doing. Eyeballing that Barry Bonds ball.
Yeah, you see that a lot for some reason, too, with the NFL coaches. I don't know why that is. Why do they all dress like that? When they're in casual gear, they all do the no socks with the tasseled loafers as
No socks, to me, is like no underpants times two. I don't feel comfortable going out without a pair of undershorts on. But no socks is where your feet get a little sweaty. They slide around in the shoe. Look, if you're going to go sockless, wear flip-flops. I got no problem with you. But don't go sockless with the leather dress shoe.
Yeah. I would just assume no man go out of the house in their flipper, in their little sandals and stuff.
Right.
It makes me sick.
Right. And
listen,
I would say,
you're not a woman. Hide your stinking big ugly feet. I don't want to look at that mess.
I agree. But yes, rich guys, no socks. true. And, you know, for that matter, ripped or holes in the jeans.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm guilty of that.
Poor people earn the holes in their jeans. It got burned away with transmission fluid many years ago. But rich guys pay a premium to get pre-torn jeans.
You know, women spend a lot of money on jeans with no holes, and that's the more holes, the better.
Yeah. What else you
Here's
got,
a good one.
Sorry.
Here's a good one. Sorry, from Brian. No. Brian Jarish writes in that each have a child. Rich people and poor people have a child urinating in the yard. He says the rich man has a statue of a child peeing into the fountain, but the poor kids actually are out there peeing in the yard.
Interesting. Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
True. Cherub. Go ahead, Chris.
How about this? Living directly at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
On the beach, like on the cliffs of the beach.
Right. So you're saying poor guy, bum, hobo.
Yeah,
Santa Monica style, showering down at the beach, living at the beach, and then the other guy paying $14.4 million for a condo that's right on the sand.
Yeah, the same view. The view is the same.
No, that's true. That's true. Rich and poor. And when you look at that way on an international level, too, some of the poorest impoverished countries in the world, people actually just beachfront beautiful property. We have to pay a premium for it. Eric?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What do you got for us, Eric?
Chrome rims.
Mm-hmm. Money in general into the rims of a car.
Yeah, just chrome rims.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Modified rims, swapping out the rims. Poor people do it, rich people do it. Middle class not interested. Because the 22-inch dubs don't look good on the beige Taurus wagon. Thanks, buddy. I somehow tickled his fancy. You know, we didn't get off to a flying start, me and Eric, but somehow I was able to break through to him.
What about pets?
Yeah. Pets, lots of dogs.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. Brian Jarish, who apparently is a master of the rich man, poor man. You should take him under your wing, Ace. Hmm. He could apprentice under you in the game of rich man, poor man.
Sure.
Here's the dogs, he says. You know, rich people have a couple of trained Dobermans to protect the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then poor people have the pit bulls.
Yeah, Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that they defend vigorously after they maul a few of the neighbor's kids.
Yeah.
I like when people do that. It's a good dog. She's a good dog.
Would say, though, it's the people's problem, not the dog's problem.
Yeah, these are the owner's problems. Well, sure, they got over the fence and mauled the two neighbor kids and one mailman. But, you know, it's not a bad dog. Lucifer's a great pup. Okay, maybe shouldn't protect it that vigorously. Robbie?
Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
What do you got for us?
Hey, marbling in the steak or the meat. You know, if you're rich, you go to the very nice steakhouses, they show you the marbling cuts in the meat, which really is just fat.
Right.
And then if you're poor, you know, you also have fat in your meat.
Fatty,
you know, marbling steak.
Yeah, fatty steak, fatty food. That's a decent one. Decent. I'll give it a 7. It's interesting. And we had talked about in the past the wild game. Mm-hmm. You know, poor people going out and killing wild turkeys and stuff like that, and eating those rich people out eating elk and that sort of thing. Just go, first off, hunting for your food is something the middle class, it's either Jed Clampett or one of the Rothschilds does this, but then the exotic sort of stuff. The middle class, you know, about as crazy as we'll get is the occasional catfish. These other people go from possum to weird zebra that's brought in on the black market. Monkey brain. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Little gator.
Yeah. Although I will include the middle class Jews with that because they eat all sorts of tongues and organs and stuff like that. But they take normal animals and eat the part no one else wants. You want some eyebrow, some anus, some eyeball? Doesn't the cow have any other parts? No, we throw it out.
How about this one again? The butane torch lighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again from Brian. Mm-hmm. He's really on fire today.
Mm-hmm.
Pun intended. Mm-hmm. The butane lighter.
All right, let's keep moving.
The butane lighter, the rich guy lights his stogies with it.
Right.
And the poor guy lights his crack with it.
Mm-hmm. Fires up the crack pipe. Right. Yeah, that's true. Any kind of lighter that is out of the basic lighter realm. Something different. Sometimes the rich guy has the extendo one to light the big fireplace in the master bedroom, and the poor guy has the crack thing. But yeah, different lighters other than just your basic Bic that has been flicked. Alfred?
Yeah.
There's a rich guy named Alfred.
Thanks. Really good one. Multiple kids.
Rich people can afford them. Poor people have nothing better to do.
Right. Yeah, big families and somebody, thank you, Alfred, somebody taking care of the kids, too.
How about gambling? Have you guys ever talked about that?
No, that's a great one.
That's something I love to do. And, yeah.
Wait a minute, which one are you?
Well... Craps.
But we'll have you on the rich side. We'll put you on the rich side, Stacey.
Depending on how well I'm doing gambling, but maybe.
What's your husband do?
He's a marketing VP.
Does he make a good living?
Yeah.
Whatever he gives you, I'll double it. You come home with me.
I think he might be listening.
I'll double his pay, too. Whatever it is, you're coming home with me. But yeah, gambling is good, except for you used yourself as an example, who is somewhere not the rich and not the poor, so you've nullified your own example by using yourself as an example. But darn. I agree. Poor people play the lottery, tend to gamble on the ponies. You go to the racetrack, and you just see the old poor black guy sitting there with the program sticking out of their back pocket. By the way, the program is 4 seasons old. They're just the same pants they've been wearing. And then there's the super rich guys down at whatever Downs or the Derby or whatever with the wives with the bonnets and the whole thing and they're drinking the mimosas. It really does, especially horse racing. That's probably even a more specific. Because if you go to a Vegas casino, you will see the middle class commingling with the rich and the poor. But the racetrack... destitute guys. I mean, you see guys hanging around that track that look like, my God, this must be your last $40. I don't know what you're doing here. And then, of course, there's the whole Kentucky Derby crowd.
You're going to offend the Ed.
Oh, yeah.
The listener in Vegas who loves to bet on the ponies. We stumbled into another one. You offered to buy Stacy. That's a good one.
Yes.
Rich man, poor man. The buying of people.
Yes.
Like, what's it going to take for you to leave my daughter alone? $10,000 check?
Right.
You know, like this money here says you never speak to her again. Mm-hmm. And then on the poor people, like, you know, pimps and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of that cliche with the daughter... the dads, a lot of threatening dads. Either it's the shotgun with the rock salt in it.
Yeah.
You get out of here now, yeah! Don't come back here no more! You know, one shot over the head. Yeah. The kid, guy's running, pulling his pants up.
Yeah.
Crawled out of the window, the daughter's room. Or then you have the super rich guy with the brandy snifters. Hey, Edward, may I have a word with you alone?
Yeah,
they come into the study and you close those doors. Not the ones that slide, the big pocket doors.
Yeah.
Two
rhinoceros heads around the room and lions.
Remote controlled.
Here's the other rich man, poor man. One pocket door, you live in a crappy apartment. The two that close together, it's a massive library. One pocket door, poor. Two, rich. So you close the doors, then you have a sit. Edward, tell me. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? He starts talking about kickboxing. Edward, I'm going to open up my checkbook right now.
I also like it when rich people in movies, I don't know how many rich people in the real world live this way, but apparently if you're rich in the movies, you must take your dinner at a gigantic table. And you sit at one end, and the other people sit at the other end.
Yeah, and you have a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
a lot of people do that.
And it's funny, yes. Because here's the thing I've learned from watching a lot of movies in the 80s. Rich people, although they may be rich and we envy them, they're miserable and loveless relationships. Cold. They're icy cold relationships with the wife. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll play a little more Rich Man, Poor Man. I'll tell you, people, your contributions to Rich Man, Poor Man have been impressive thus far via email or the phone. Also, Pat O'Brien, P.O.B., as I like to call him, is going to be calling in the next few minutes. And Limerick Wars, Dave's cousin, going up against Mark the Poet. All that coming up this hour.
Call Adam now, 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yep. It is Stacey Galante here, sitting in for Teresa. She'll be back. Do not worry.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Don't worry, Teresa.
Rich man, poor man is the game we've been playing. These are things the very rich and the very poor share. Austin?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
Driving up a toll road here, coming up to the booth, so I might have to pause for a minute here. Okay, I got one for you. Lots of big jewelry.
Yeah. We talked about that. Big shield-size earrings, especially on women. Huge earrings. Yeah, and big jewelry. I think poor people overcompensate by going with the big nugget watches and the big jewelry or mega, you know. I've seen black women that look like Mr. T's mom walking around. Never makes me think they're rich. As soon as we figured out there was costume jewelry and fake gold and all that stuff, we all quickly did the math. Fake Rolexes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also, if it counts as jewelry, a lot of poor people wear the gigantic crucifixes.
Yeah. Actually bigger than the one Jesus was hung on. But strong. Makes you strong. Really builds your thighs. Clay?
Yeah.
Rich man, poor man. What do we got?
I got a rich man, poor man. Smoking cigarettes in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Middle class, nay.
No, it's true. No, the middle class seem to be freaked out by smoke in general. They will call the cops if the neighbor in their condo underneath them is smoking out on their porch. We somehow have the middle class brainwashed into thinking that secondhand smoke is a first-rate killer. The super rich, they sit there with their long silver extensions. They have smoking rooms. Guys go into rooms with cigars and brandy snifters and talk politics while the ladies go into the ballroom. And then the poor people literally will give their toddler drag off their Winston if they're having a bad day.
And but the rich smoking areas in the airports, you know, they get to go in their little areas and they smoke their cigarettes.
Yeah, I don't know if those are for the rich folks in the airport.
They certainly don't look it.
No, he's talking about the club.
Oh, the club, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's true. You know, I would say not only smoking in the house, rich and poor, but a general sort of lack of concern or laissez-faire attitude about smoke in general and whatever health concerns are involved. Poor people look at it as, I'm not going to see my 50th birthday anyway. And rich people are like, look, I'll kill a drifter and steal his lungs if I need a new set when I'm 70.
Here's one that is different than rich man, poor man. It's the middle class. It only is true in the middle class.
Mm.
It's a different way to go with it.
A little twist.
And here's one for you is the like with the smoking thing reminds me of that. The mother of the house, the wife of the house, will say, you don't smoke in my house. You go outside and you do that. And there's a lot of talk in the middle class about my wife's the boss of the house.
Right.
She's the one running the show. Poor people, they beat their ladies.
Yes.
And rich people,
they buy them.
Everybody knows what the score is.
Yeah, we know who's bringing home the bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, even though the middle class, it really is the guy who runs the house. He has to laugh.
Yeah, but you always, that's the joke always. Isn't it? They say, oh, the old lady's the boss of me.
No, it is partially true because when I used to work as a carpenter and I'd work at somebody's house every once in a while, the guy would have to make a decision without his wife. Like, and it'd be nothing. Look, I'm going to use base shoe instead of quarter round along this baseboard. It'll look better. We got to wait till Sharon comes home. Well, no, this is how we do it.
Yeah,
you can tell the guy.
Rich guy's not asking the question. Well, we better wait till the missus comes home and sees. He decides what he likes.
Right. Plus, she's a trophy wife. She's off at tennis camp right now, and she's 33 years his junior. Ray?
Yes.
Rich man, poor man?
Yeah, I got neither tends their own yards themselves. Rich man pays the gardener. Poor man just lets it go to hell.
Yeah, that's true. Either way, not a lot of push in the mower.
No.
It's true. That is exclusively the domain of the middle class, the weekend warrior out there pushing the mower up and down the lawn. Good point.
One.
Yes.
Eyebrows. Stacey. Eyebrows.
How dare you? How dare you?
Oh, no.
Yes, go ahead.
No, you know, obviously they're the lower class, they tend to pluck and make them very thin, and the rich go and have them waxed, or they do.
Or they just look like Andy Rooney or something. They actually use them as a like, yeah, like it looks like an aerodynamic feature on an automobile. It's an air dam or wind wing or something. Like, there is the crazy rich guy with the huge eyebrows. Yeah. All right. I'm going there. Better than the gambling one. Jerry?
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, go ahead. Rich man, poor man.
I think it's the Harley.
Owning a hog.
You got the rich man, and he's got that $6,000 hog that sits in his garage.
Yeah.
You know, the yuppie.
No, I'm with you. You know what it is? It's Malcolm Forbes. Malcolm Forbes loved motorcycles, and he would arrange these extravagant things with him and all his cronies. We're going all the way up the coast on these hogs. You know, it'd be a whole thing, and they'd stop it. You know, it was a big deal. Or there's just a poor biker dude, the white trash biker dude.
Exactly.
Yeah. Again, the middle class guy, the old lady doesn't let him have it. See, that's the whole thing. As Dave pointed out, you're not wearing the pants in the middle class. The middle class wife is saying, are you kidding, Herb? You're not getting a motorcycle. You have two kids and a mortgage to pay. What if something would happen? Rich guy, the wife hopes the guy buys it on the bike.
Yeah.
She gets the whole estate, and now she can bang the pool man inside the house. The poor chick gets backhanded she ever brings anything up.
There's a lot of that. I'm going to have another beer, but don't tell the boss about it, okay?
Right.
No poor guy says that, and no rich guy says, I'm going to have another shot of brandy snifter.
Right. Let's see. Eviction notices. I'm curious about this. Maybe this is putting them up versus getting them put on your home. James?
Yeah, Adam, how you doing?
Good. Rich man, poor man.
Yeah, think about it. If the rich man sitting at his desk signing the eviction notice is because the poor man couldn't pay his rent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The contact with eviction notices. Either,
right.
Yeah, just actually getting the paperwork. Either you're putting your initials on it and okaying it, or you're being served with one, but just physically coming in contact with it. Yeah,
right.
Middle class never deals with an eviction notice.
No.
All right, one more. Nice one. Let's try this one. Oh, I like this one. Chris?
Hey.
Go ahead, my brother.
Taxidermy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the old rich guy's got the marlin from the Gulf Coast, and the poor guy's got a jackalope.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, the poor guy has a turkey that's got its paw turned up and it's giving the finger. It's actually like giving the bird something like that, the novelty. By the way, that is my worst nightmare, to come back as another animal and not be consumed or run over, but to be taxidermized into some sort of stupid thing where they turn my ass into a pencil holder. You know what I mean? You want to talk about the final insult. As a creature on this planet. Bad enough that you should just get shot by a hunter, but then he turns you into a hat rack?
Yeah,
that's bad.
And then also with the, along with the animal heads on the walls, rich people seem to stuff the cat, the family cat, like Miss Fluffs a lot.
Yeah, they spent $26,000 to have Miss Fluffs a lot flash frozen, and then had, synthetic fur and eyeballs made and stuff, and all it does is freak everyone
She's
out.
She's with us forever.
No, look, being dead, though, and with you could throw a hooker in your trunk. That doesn't mean she's with you forever.
Well, if this is acceptable, then let's just start doing it with our dead humans as well, and having them sitting on the couch.
That was his favorite spot.
Now he's there forever.
Step further. Let's animate him using, fishing string. I mean, let's just keep going. Speaking of fishing, Marcus?
Adam, what's up, dude?
Rich man, poor man. What's happening?
Hey, I got fishing, and I got beer.
Explain the beer part.
Beer? Well, see, I got a brother-in-law that's white, man. And that guy doesn't care about what beer he buys. He'll just go in there and buy a suitcase with no problem. Me, I'll go in and get the suitcase of the Keystone.
Right. But
you know what?
Yeah. Fishing, I agree. How about this? How about making your own booze? It's a little bit of a stretch, but poor people will make the shine, and rich people, not all, but some, will do that family. They have their family reserve, their ale, their whatever. Maybe they're not dirtying their hands themselves, but they have the private reserve of the exclusive whatever that is made just for them. Maybe it's wine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think in California, there are plenty of people with vineyards.
Yeah, so either you make your own booze, you have your own vineyard, or it's the bathtub gin that you're making, but again, not the domain of the middle class. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. One more. I'm addicted to my own game. Darren?
Yeah.
What do you got? Rich man, poor man.
Rich man, poor man. I had to clean up after themselves.
It's a good point. Yeah. Rich guys feel entitled. They have a sense of entitlement. They don't clean up after themselves. Poor guys are just too loaded, usually, and live amongst so much filth anyway.
Beer
it doesn't
cans
really
and
matter.
Pizza boxes stacked up.
Yeah.
Right.
I used to know a guy who would spit tobacco onto his wooden floor. Onto the goddamn floor. Good one, Darren.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Pat O'Brien, POB, as he's known from The Insider. See next, Bruska?
That's correct.
All right. Also, news and sports. What can Adam complain about? Doug, the Indian intern's going to be in. Dave's got a jerk report. Look out. We'll be right back after this.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, this is Vinny Pastore. You know me as Big Pussy from The Sopranos. I'm dead and I'm hanging out with my boy Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla, you could call him at, what can we call him at? We could call him at 1-866-901-ADAM. You could fix that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, forget about it.
The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what happened recently on The Insider with Pat O'Brien.
Mary Jo continues to grill Amy, and Amy asked the question Mary Jo never saw coming.
Why?
Two women separated by years of pain coming together willingly, ending 15 years of silence between them. Amy versus Joey, the tears, the tirade.
You're gonna burn in hell, you little
Yeah. P.O.B.
That's what I'm talking about.
What's happening, Pat?
Just trying to get everybody together in the world.
Doing a fine job.
Along, you know?
I am fascinated by not only Mary Jo and Amy and all these people, but The Insider. I can't stop watching now. It's heroin to me, your program, Pat.
Well, it's viewers like you that we try to attract.
Well, it's working.
Tony Buttafuoco should have his own show, shouldn't he?
He really is. I like, first off, he deserves an Academy Award because he just sits there next to his new wife and says, had sex with her. I have no idea what you're talking about. We're just friends.
I love it when he throws his mic. When you watch tonight, the way he throws his microphone down.
Oh, really? That's on tonight.
Yeah, the way he gets up and the dramatic effect of him turning around and throwing his microphone to the ground is awesome.
Well, what do you make of the whole thing? I mean, as far as Amy Fisher goes, you know, the whole thing started with she had plastic surgery, she's changed her name, she wants a new life, but then why do a 22-part series on television?
Yeah, I wonder that myself.
And the plastic surgery just looks like she had her nose fixed.
She looks pretty good, by the way, in person.
She does.
She doesn't look too bad. Yeah. The one that makes me crazy, P.O.B., is Mary Jo. How bad does she want to be on TV?
They all do.
But, I mean, she got shot. The incident resulted in her getting shot in the head.
I'm with you on this thing. I'm right with you.
It is crazy, and yes, the notion that Joey has no idea what she's talking about. This was nothing but an innocent platonic relationship between a 46-year-old guy who owned a body shop on Long Island and a 60-year-old girl like to hang out. She loved Bondo and Fender work, evidently, and they just like to hang out together.
Just goes to show you, nobody ever moves on.
Yes, they really don't.
Who can we get together next?
Well, how about let's talk Britney being pregnant.
5 months. Apparently, she's like 5 months pregnant.
Yeah. What do you think of her and Federline? You think this thing's good? What do you think? What do you think the over under would be on their relationship?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm so bad with guessing relationships. I thought that Ben and J Lo. I did a 1 hour special about how great they were together. So I was wrong there. I was wrong about Ben Affleck and, I'm sorry, I was wrong about, I can't keep them straight.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, I was wrong about them.
Well, what do you, I'm thinking.
I was wrong about you and me.
Yeah, that's right. We thought we'd last forever.
Yep.
And it starts, you know, the signs, you don't pay attention to them. First, it's, the spooning magically goes away.
And yet, P.O.B., you're still going to invite Carolla to your Christmas party.
The late-night meetings in North Hollywood, I mean,
sure.
Know, where'd those go?
Doing it at the 50-yard line of the old football field over at Husky Stadium. Yes, I am coming to your Christmas party, and I'm looking forward to
P.O.B.,
it.
P.O.B., can I come?
No.
Please, I want to be at the party.
Let me explain why, Dave, and I'll speak for Pat because I know it's uncomfortable. Right. There's a certain level of celebrity you must have in order to be there.
I'm zero.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but I could be your date.
No,
Dave, this you're not at that level of celebrity.
Yeah, and the,
I'm not saying that Adam is either.
Right, but I've been grandfathered in.
Yeah, P.O.B., speaking of that, what are you going
to
do?
But Adam's friends and family, as we like to say in the white-collar crowd.
I see. Well, listen, Britney's getting all sorts of attention for her pregnancy, and every celebrity who has a baby gets big attention. What are you going to do on The Insider to cover the Corolla birth when he has his when Lynette has the twins?
Yes.
Can't wait to do that tease.
Yeah,
we'll make something up about you.
Sure. Any day now, by the way, the children have assumed the birthing position. The thing that's funny about the kids is they're getting C-sectioned out of there, but they don't know that yet.
They don't.
Ah, I see.
They think they're looking at the light at the end of the tunnel. What they don't realize is Sly Stallone's coming in through a second opening in the top and going to free him up that way.
P.O.B.'s going to have a scandal about, like, is Lynette the real mother?
So you know that they're it's twins, right?
We know they're twins because they happen to be in the same womb and growing at the same time, boy and a girl.
Just keep working, my friend, because college is $100,000 each by the time they get up there. Well, more than that.
Not junior college. That's $6 a unit. And that's where they're going.
University of Phoenix?
Yes. Oh, please. They'll be over at L.A. Valley College. They'll be a monarch, just like their proud papa was.
Well, you could raise them to think that there's nothing wrong with JC. A lot of people go to junior college.
Sure. Lots of unsuccessful people you've never heard of have gone to junior colleges.
I was growing up in South Dakota. The big thing was to go to beauty school if you couldn't get anywhere else. A lot of people who dropped out of high school, remember when those things...
Mm-hmm. Well, what a lot of people don't know about Pat O'Brien is he's no fortunate son. He was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's born with a banjo in his hands in a three-walled room with a dirt floor in South Dakota.
Never had a bedroom. I grew up with... had to wait till everybody went to bed so I could pull the couch out.
Pat is officially, or was at least, the poorest white person in America.
Yep.
Growing up. Hillbilly poor.
I might have lived in a trailer house.
That's right. But you know what? He was proud. I like the people who didn't know they were poor. Oh, well, sure, I slept in a chest of drawers and had to drink out of the hose, but we didn't know we were poor. Really? Right. How goddamn stupid are you? You knew you were poor, right, Pat?
I knew the deal.
Good, but the point is you scratched and you clawed.
When you're poor, mm-hmm. They have eyes. You see that there are bigger and nicer houses than yours.
I know. It's always funny when people talk about we're poor, but we didn't know it.
You didn't know it. We had everything, sure.
Yeah, sure. We ate top ramen every meal. And for Christmas, I got a lump of coal, but we didn't know it. Really? I would have been pissed if... Yes.
We love bologna sandwiches on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. I wore the same pair of shoes every day, even to church. Sure. Pat, what about Seacrest and Terry Hatcher? What do you make about that?
I think that's over.
Do you think it was a setup?
I'm not sure it ever began, by the way.
What about the allegation that the paparazzi was alerted by Seacrest's team to take a picture of them making out on the beach?
Well, it sure looked like that, didn't it? Did you see the picture?
I saw the picture, and then I saw that she pointed out, maybe it was on your program, that they broke up the next day or something.
Like an hour later, he called her and said, I can't do this. Right, P.O.B.?
Who knows what goes on?
He was actually making out with her when her cell phone rang. It was a recorded message of him saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to remove my tongue.
The kiss that I had one time with Jimmy Kimmel was more passionate than that kiss.
To mention the reach around.
Jimmy and I have that on tape.
Well, I'll tell you, be prepared for a Kimmel-Corolla tag team at the next Christmas party, Pat.
I love that. And you're one of the couples that I actually greet at the door.
Yes, the respect. Me, us, and Meatloaf are the only celebrities he greets at the door. And I'll say this, Pat. You're off the booze, but I'm not, so who knows what could happen.
We'll have plenty there for you.
Thanks, Pat. Pat O'Brien, everybody, the insider. We always appreciate Pat calling into the show.
Can I sneak in your trunk,
Dave,
like we're going to a drive-in?
Just no. In my trunk. Yeah, it's funny because Pat... You know, at previous parties, he would have Richie Sambora and Heather would be in there. And, of course, they're no more. As I mentioned, poor Bob Urich, Robert Urich, was there a few years back. This just months before he passed away. I had a nice conversation with him. He has a nice who's who of sort of rock and roll and celebrity. Some, you know, a couple of A-listers, but more an eclectic weird group. Like I said, the Meatloafs of the
world.
I
want to make the scene.
Sorry. Sorry, it'll be made without you. All right, we need to take a break quickly. Quickly, I think we ought to finish a little unfinished business between Mark the Poet and Brandon, Dave's cousin from Harrisburg, PA. Let's talk to Mark first. Mark?
Yeah, good morning, Adam.
You have a poem about Brandon?
I do.
And hold on 1 second, please. Brandon?
Yeah, Adam, how you doing today?
Good. You have a... Now, whose side are you on? Are you... You're Dave's cousin.
Our fathers are brothers, actually.
Your fathers are brothers. And you grew up in Pittsburgh yourself? Or?
No, I grew up in Harrisburg, actually. I got to make the occasional trip out to Pittsburgh to see Dave and his sisters and the like.
The big city.
Uh-huh.
Harrisburg, from the state's capital, he would drive
sure,
over.
Your eyes must have been the size of saucers as he drove through Pittsburgh, especially in the 70s when it was a booming metropolis.
Carolla's going to wind up on the jerk
roll. All right, and now you still live in Harrisburg?
Yeah, that's correct. I moved back here about 4 months ago.
And what do you do?
I am a grant writer for a nonprofit organization.
Boring.
Correct.
But still, you were a creative writing major in college?
Yeah, that's right. I have an MFA in creative writing.
All right. Well, Mark says BFD to your MFA, by the way. So let's hear a little Mark, the poet. I know you guys are arch enemies. Not that you've ever met. You just can't stand his body of work.
Correct.
All right, Mark, give us the poem about Brandon, and then Brandon, you'll give a little retort. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. Brandon's the cousin of Dave who does sports with his reverse Sir Mark Squire reports. All the diarrhea he's spewingly said. If I wanted his crap, I'd squeeze his head. Maybe he's just angry as genital warts.
Oh, okay. Abrupt?
A little angry.
A little bumpy, but angry? You know, not bad, Mark. I've heard better from you, and I think you're one of these guys where you don't want to play angry. You get a little sloppy. You know, you let your emotions get the best of you, and you get a little wild in the ring, you know. Better to stay composed. But I appreciate the heart. Brandon, how say you?
Mine's a little bit longer, but this is just sort of how I envision Mark the Poet.
All right.
All right. When I picture Mark, who is less bite than bark, I assume he's a nerd in thick glasses. He wears nothing but black as he pleasures his sack, and his rhymes don't appeal to the masses. He's taken up writing as a faux form of fighting. His predictable rhymes are all hackneyed. He's assuredly scrawny rather than brawny, with coffee breath, pit stains, and acne. He brags to his pals about all of the gals that he's bed since appearing on Corolla. The truth of the matter is, a result of his chatter, Mark failed to bed even Ozzy with a well-timed Ola. Mark's a pimple-faced male with a long ponytail who collects G.I. Joe and model Volkswagens. He spends all his nights dressed in Kevlar and tights with his friends playing Dungeons and Dragons. I'm sure Mark's a gay who wears a beret but tilts it to one side askew. He's a mega J.O. who thinks his poor oral flow will get him Star Jones' job on The View.
Wow.
He's a self-proclaimed sir who prefers hymns to her, and his palms like his a-hole are hairy. He slings fries at the mall, and as a gift to us all, Mark should have hit the road with Rachel Perry.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. I don't think anyone needs to weigh in here. I think the match is...
Mark, I have to say, too, I was two syllables away from enacting the slaughter rule. I was actually going to step in and call a halt to this. You know what I was? I was that ref who's standing, watching very closely somewhere in the sixth round when the other guy pours it on. And now, 18 unanswered punches. If you don't throw one, I'm stepping in
Mark the Poet is going to suffer permanent brain damage if you don't do something now.
Wow. All right. Well, look, Brandon, first off, kudos to you. Winning round one that way. 10-7 type round, by the way. Mark, your work is cut out for you, my friend. I think you realize the gloves have come off, and it's now no holds barred and whatever other cliches I can think of.
Practice.
All right, I'll tell you what. Clean yourself up and live to fight another day.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Brandon, that was some... Why do we have Dave on the show when Brandon's out there? I mean, we could get the kid for a song. Obviously, the kid's talented and has a way with words.
I agree.
Do you have any other family members we could bring by? right. Well, we'll talk about it during the break.
A lot of people thought our dog was funnier than me, too.
Yeah, so. This is uncomfortable. You're right. All right, Stacey Galani's coming up. We got the news right after this.
Big news on Britney's baby bum.
Mm.
And American Idol's have a little Elvis tribute. And who might replace Star Jones on The View?
All that coming up on Stacey's news, plus sports. Plus, Doug the Intern, the Jerk Report, what can Adam complain about? All coming up this hour.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
Hi, this is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
The Adam Carolla Show. This morning, a timeless match of tongues. Dave's cousin Brandon.
Oh, Brandon from Pittsburgh.
No good. Fan of Mark the Poet.
I feel terrible for him.
Versus Mark the Poet.
Perfect timing on getting on public transportation.
When men get to fighting, it happens here, and it finishes here. Today we make an exception and let these two fight it out.
Anything goes. It's Thunderdome.
It's Limerick Dome. Two men enter. One man leaves.
I know where Dave.
They both leave, actually. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Rhyming Time's here.
Well, that was long, Dave. Dave promised me that
don't
was so funny. We should play it anyway.
Don't you dare.
Too
don't
late.
Point a finger at
too
me.
Too late. I've already wagged my finger at you. I'm going to wag more in a minute. I'll wag. All right.
I'll put you on the jerk report. I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Day late and a dollar short, but Brandon walks away with the victory. But don't worry. They'll be around, too. All right. Where are we? Yes, it is time for the news. And filling in for Teresa Strasser is the beautiful Stacey Galani.
Thank you, Adam. Well, oops, she did it again. During a surprise visit last night on David Letterman, the 24-year-old Britney Spears confirmed she's not fat, just pregnant with baby number two. She assured Dave that the baby was her husband's, Kevin Federline.
Mm. I like the whole prep. It was cool. Uh-huh. It was very interesting. Right. I think you did a very good job.
And what are we on to something here or not?
Don't worry, Dave. It's not yours.
Oh. Whoa. Well, I think that's good news for both of us. So we've established now that you are, in fact, pregnant. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, there you go. See, Paul?
He's just giddy with that baby
bump. How old is he with that? Yeah!
He's like 58 with a two-year-old, three-year-old son. But
didn't he almost die 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, he open-heart surgery.
Shouldn't you be hot air ballooning at this point or taking a yacht around the world?
He's a
you know what I mean?
So when you reach the station in life that he had achieved, you'll be gone. That'll be it. You'll say, I have enough loot in the bank.
Yes.
Good day.
Yes, I will say good day to you, sir.
Britney Spears,
you have to admit you're pregnant at a certain point because other than that, you're just fat, right? I mean, you have to come out with it otherwise because people see you going around in a sundress and you look like hell. Ugh. I hope she has 5 more kids consecutively and she never cuts another album and we never have to hear from her again. And by the way, I was thinking when she's out plugging her perfume everywhere.
Yeah, this is her third perfume.
Pimping her perfume, which must, I imagine, just smell like placenta and Taco Bell at this point.
And big gulps.
Write that down, Brian. If she's not going to use it, I am.
Now she's fighting rumors of a surprise divorce, so who knows if she'll be going on the record about
that. Oh, well, these no talents. Please just go away. Please. Does anyone like her? Does anyone think she's a talent? Does anyone like her singing? Does she even sing anymore? What goes on?
People seem to still be very interested in her, I guess. I know.
You know what I think it is? I swear to Christ, I really think there's this element of life. It's my trail mix theory, which is everybody thinks somebody else likes it, but when you check around the room, hey, Dave, do you like trail mix?
No.
No? Oh, I thought you... Stacey,
not
do you...
me.
No, never.
Wait a minute. Why did we order a metric ton of trail mix? I ordered because I thought... Stacey thought I liked it. As it turns out, nobody likes it. But yet we keep buying it.
We'll eat it, though.
Well, that's because it has calories in it. What are you going to do?
Well, after more than a year, 410-pound Steve Vogt completed his cross-country walk from California to New York. It's a 2,800-mile journey. Mm-hmm. Now, he lost over 100 pounds, but the 40-year-old says this feat was about the journey and overcoming severe depression, not necessarily about weight loss. Now, I think I would have thought he would have lost more than 100 pounds walking 2,800 miles.
One would think, but I guess he ate along the way, right?
So he said he had trouble finding healthy places to eat along the way.
Yeah, I would imagine as he entered the red states,
kind of
across the country, a little trouble eating at the Chicken in the Basket and Waffle House and stuff like that. Yeah,
but he made it safely. Right. So now, is Elvis turning in his grave after last night's American Idol? Perhaps. That is my opinion. But the final four gave it all. They're all singing two Elvis hit songs each, and Elliot Yaman seemed to have scored the best. Taylor Hicks called on his Soul Patrol to belt out Jailhouse Rock.
Well, he did. Well, there it is.
Sorry. Not to be confused with... We can jump
is
back.
Is this Elliot Yaman?
Mm-hmm.
But.
Chichu Temu. Chichu and Temu.
Lionel Richie, nice.
Just
Lionel Richie
should be.
I think so.
I don't think that was Elliot, actually. I think that might have been you, Dave. But now, obviously, Simon wasn't particularly a fan of Taylor's version of Jailhouse Rock.
In the real world, that was a terrible impersonation. Elvis Presley. No! The dancing was hideous.
It wasn't that bad.
And the dancing. And it was just karaoke with a capital K.
I counted her words last night, by the way, Paula's words.
She was slurring.
I know some of them I couldn't tell what they were, but she did 197 words last night. But she was on camera like 11 times. She averages like 18 words a pop. It is incredible. But the more incredible part is my wife, who's about to kill herself because I have to sit there with the TV on. We both have to tally up Paula's words, and we try to figure out whether to give her credit, like when she repeats the same thing three times. And I don't know, should you give someone credit, like when they go, like when she's like, Taylor, that was so, that, what can I say? And then next, $6 million a year for that. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Did you like the show though?
Yeah, and you know, Elvis does have a lot of good songs, not the big top 10 songs, and Taylor made a mistake coming out with the Jailhouse Rock stuff, but he did In the Ghetto as his second song. Smart, little known, soulful Elvis song, and nailed it. Anyone's game.
Yeah.
I must say, it is heating up.
They seem to be against Catherine, though. I get this feeling that there's this concerted effort to bad talk her.
I hate her. I just wish she would get a zit or a cavity or something.
Yeah, she's a little too perfect.
She is 21 and as composed as you can be. And they take the camera and I think it's actually mounted on her forehead. It is that close to her. Doesn't appear to have a pore. You know, when I was 21 or 19 or whatever, what happened to zits, by the way? Remember when you were 19 or 20, had a couple of doozies going on your forehead at any given time and the dreaded nose zit or the whatever? She is alabaster perfect. She opens her mouth wide like a hippo and hits the high notes. There's no cavities in her mouth, not a bead of sweat. She's totally composed. Her hair's amazing. I can't stand her.
Maybe that's why they're trying to knock her down a little bit.
I'd like to see her.
Off that pedestal. Now, you'll recall we talked last week about our own intern, Larissa, and her big date with actor, singer, Hollywood big shot Nick Cannon. Well, now on a recent extra, we got to actually see and hear
a little bit
of that date. Yeah.
This is Larissa the intern.
Yeah.
Right. Who just, 2 weeks ago, Jerron fancied her. Jerron the intern, our black but white on the inside intern.
Yes.
Fancied Larissa.
Sure.
And then we learned, of course, that Larissa had it bad for the Sheck.
Well, it looks like it kind of turned out okay.
But now listen, I'm spoken for. You know, that's that. I'm sorry, lady. So she moved on. Begrudgingly, but she moved on nonetheless.
Sure,
and was set up on Extra with Nick Cannon. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, no problem. I mean, obviously,
who resembles intern Geron.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. A little less tan.
He's his blackleganger.
His blackleganger. But actually, it sounds like, from what Nick has to say on Extra, that they actually hit it off pretty well.
Got a boyfriend or anything like that?
No.
That'd be kind of weird if you did.
Yeah, she's giggling.
She's bubbly.
That's
and she's
a good
cute.
Sign. Yeah. In she a... actually recapped the date this mm-hmm. way.
It was good. I liked him. It was very sweet.
So, could be a love match? I don't know.
I don't like this.
Well, we'll figure it out. She'll be in soon enough. We'll talk to her about it.
Nick Cannon's a rebound man.
I don't know if she's won out on a second date with him or not.
I don't know.
We'll find that out.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm Stacey Galante. That's the news, and it's all free.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
NBA playoffs rolling on. Detroit Pistons up 2-0 on LeBron after their win last night. Dallas with the Spurs down in San Antonio. That series now tied at 1. Whoever emerges victorious from that one gets the winner of the series. That resumes tonight in the Valley of the Suns. Clips at Phoenix, 7:30. Now, bad news in the from the ranks of the NBA. It's time for a trip to the Coach's Corner.
Coach's Corner, where coaches and corner are both spelled with K.
Wow. Smart.
They're both spelled with K.
Yeah.
Rick Adelman, coach of the Sacramento Kings, fired yesterday after 8 seasons on the job. He's out. And that's Coach's Corner.
Spelled with a K.
2 Ks.
Both.
Both words are spelled with K.
Right. But coach and corner both start with the same letter, too, you know.
If you're saying, like spell check would say those are spelled incorrectly.
Right.
They're usually spelled with C's. But what defines this little segment is that they're both spelled with K's.
Yeah.
We turn the spotlight onto the guys on the bench.
Right.
You know, on the sidelines.
But this is the radio.
Pastime. All right, there's some good news and there's some bad news. Here's the good news.
Wake me up when the Dodgers are at 500 again, please.
You're getting close, sir.
All right.
Here's your good news. Keep your ears peeled. If you hear your name here, you're in the win column. Dodgers, Giants, Mariners, Athletics. However, there is some bad news. If you hear your name called now, I'm going to have to see you after class.
Oh, I like this.
Halos.
Mm.
Diamondbacks. Padres. Padres get a little pass, though, because they just had a 9-game win streak. It had to end at some point.
Sure.
Okay. Now, Stanley Cup playoffs. Anaheim Mighty Ducks up 2-0, went into Colorado last night, came out with a win. It went to overtime thanks to the 3 goals in regulation from Joffrey Lupul. Mm-hmm. K. Mussolini, dynamite name, but Joffrey Lupul.
Lupul.
Close behind, and then it went to overtime, and here's how it went.
Sackett, down for Clark, and Breeze blow out the other side. Painter right on the stick of Dustin Penner. Joffrey Lupul fires, scores! Joffrey Lupul's fourth of the game, wins it for the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Oh, we're getting ever closer to a Teemu versus Chichu battle for a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals. I have nothing more to say, and that means game over.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Spelled with K's.
Yeah, I like when people do that. I like when they replace the S's with Z's, too. That's another smart move.
That's a good one. And when it's a show that's about or for children, when it's for kids, it's all... No children refer to themselves as kids.
Right.
Kids only, you know, when they put up signs. But it's always in the movies or TV shows. Children are obviously so illiterate that they put letters backwards a lot.
They put one backwards. Yeah. They never put all of them backwards, which doesn't make sense, although I don't know how you put a capital A backwards. But it's always the one backwards, usually the S, but it is always the one letter that's backwards. Right. Never
Nothing
more
moronic
than one.
Like that. We just changed for coaches, Corn. We just changed the C's to K's.
Yes.
It was intentional.
All right.
Thank you.
We will take ourselves a little break. That's why whenever I ride out the word pedophile, I'll always turn one letter backwards. It's ironic, but I find it amusing.
It's cute.
Yeah, I don't
get it. It makes it fun.
I do it in crayon, and I do the one I'll do the F backwards. Oh, wait, and there's no F. We got to take a little break. I got to think about that. All right, when we come back, we're going to play a little something called What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in. You give us the topic. I defy you to pick one.
It can't be done. Adam Carolla, the world champion complainer, complains about it all.
That's right.
Were there a gold medal in the Olympics handed out for complaining,
mm-hmm.
he would be the reigning champion. He would have many gold medals.
I don't want to correct you. I would say, were there a platinum medal, something higher than gold, I would be given out. I would be insulted with the gold medal of complaining. I would bite on it and throw it right back at the judge.
Complain about the gold medal.
Angry. All right, so you call in, give us your topic. I don't care what it is. I'll complain
puppies,
about it.
Dolphins.
We'll do it. We'll do it after this. Also, Doug the intern has his. He's from somewhere in India. He's going to do his Hollywood happenings for us. David's jerk report and Jeff Ross, King of the Roast, Christian comedian. Christian, 13-year-old comedian, is going to come in here. Big show tonight. All that coming up.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
This is Tori Spelling. You're listening to the insert adjective here. Adam Carolla Show. Oh, I get it.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Were there an Olympic event for complaining, you, sir, would be the gold medalist.
Thank you, my friend. What is your topic?
Special Olympics.
Well, that's an easy one. First off, the coverage is horrible on ESPN, too.
Rachel Perry's breast.
You know, I like to go bigger than that, but it works nicely.
Family Guy.
I'm not on it this year.
The greatest American novel, The Great Gatsby.
And what is that? The Great Gatsby sounds like a magician. Sounds like a gay magician. Well, there you go. Just a sampling of what can't Adam complain about. This is a very organic game. I guess people around here realize I complain about almost everything, and why not turn our lemon into lemonade by creating a segment that kills a couple of moments of the show called What Can't Adam Complain About? Now,
let it begin. The opening bell has sounded.
I start at the top of the phone banks. I power my way down to the bottom of the phone banks.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thanks, Brad. Now I'll continue explaining how this works. I start at the top, I go to the bottom. I think it's important for you folks to know that I don't know what the topics are. We don't preload these, we don't preset these, we just
maybe as a little warm-up you could complain about Brian.
By the way, Brian, first off, it's after 7:30. You should be on your third beer right now.
Angie drank them all.
First day at doing the new gig of doing the sound effects, Mike on vacation, or I should say Mike on his honeymoon, cracks himself a cold one at 8:10 in the morning.
You admire that.
I admire that, but I'm still going to have to fire you. I wish they'd do that scene in the movie. Son, you stood up to me. You got moxie. You remind me of myself when I was a young lad. You have brass ones, and you know what? I'm going to have to fire your ass. Never that scene in a movie. Now, does this thing sound a little dead? Should I bring it up like this? There we go. How's that sound?
Complaining
sound good?
About the bell.
What's wrong with this goddamn ring bell?
Already.
All right. We'll just start at the top. Dan, what's your topic, please?
Adam, how can you complain about a library card?
A, I don't have one. B, I don't like the library because I realize as a man who pays hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxes every year, I fund these things. And all this is a bunch of losers sitting around reading periodicals and newspapers. If I were in there, I would clean house immediately. They turn no profit. Plus, I have a bad taste in my mouth for my loser dad who used to rent albums, nay, borrow albums from the library. Growing up, albums, record albums. He would actually go and get bent, warped record albums from the library. And confusing for us people that don't read very much. Library? It doesn't have the word book in it. It doesn't have the word reading in it. Library? How am I supposed to remember that? If you just call it the House of Books, where people don't have jobs congregate, I would gladly get behind it. Thank you. Who's next? Matt.
Whorehouse.
What'd you say?
Hey, can you complain about a whorehouse?
All right? And then I'll do the next on your speech impediment. Whorehouse. Whorehouse, I realize as I was thinking about, sounds a lot like warehouse, but never have two houses been further apart. One has just pallets with just durable goods stacked up in it. The other, beautiful ladies willing to fulfill your fantasies orally and then some. Whorehouse and warehouse. I like the sound of whorehouse. I like brothel better. Brothel sounds like you're doing something in there. Yeah, you're getting a Hummer and you're making some beer. Brothel. Let's keep moving. Matthew.
Yeah. How about breastfeeding mothers or lactating in general? I can't complain.
Some guys are into lactating. I'm not. I would question those who are. I saw Ted reading an issue of Milkin' and Poppin' out in the hallway and was visibly disturbed at it. My wife's given birth to twins. We're having twins. I hate that by worse stuff. We're having twins in a couple of weeks. My wife will be breastfeeding and it'll be strange for me to watch. I feel it. It's a weird sexual act. And if you think about it, at least in my mind, if you think about it, there's nothing more taboo than the act of, the children and the mother, the father and the mother. Here's one where the kid is actually doing something you did on your second date with your wife to your wife while you try to watch TV. I call it grotesque. Get me the bottle. And I don't mean the bottle with the milk in it. I mean a bottle with booze in it. It's the only way I can cope with this. Dan.
Hey, how about complaining about Adam Carolla?
Well, I got a bad genetic hand dealt to me. Just look at my teeth. Receding gums. I've had tons of dental work done. I have two titanium posts in my mouth right now. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. Are you seeing? I have two posts. And not sliver posts, lamp post size, titanium posts in my mouth just awaiting their fake crowns.
You're giving that one short shrift. What about the unibrow?
Unibrow.
That head of hair.
Brillo head. Skinny calves. Yeah. Skinny arms. Yeah, I'm going to kill myself as soon as we're done with this. Maybe before. Daniel. No. Brian. All right. Let's try this again. Daniel.
All right, good.
Topic.
Right, now, you talk about it so much. I own one. All my friends love it. A TiVo. Come on. No, you can't kill a TiVo.
I love TiVo itself.
I
love the TiVo. I don't like the creepy TiVo mascot. Who decided we need a mascot for every goddamn thing? I understand if you have a sports franchise, but this is essentially a souped-up VCR. Do we need the creepy little alien with the antennas whose belly is the O of the TiVo or whoever the F that thing works? It gives me the creeps. And by the way, I assume he's watching me and recording my every move. Oh, yes. He's put together a best of Carolla masturbates disc somewhere on a hard drive that he's emailing to all his friends around the country, nay, the world. I'm sure. Yes, he creeps me out, that guy. And by the way, what is he? You know what I mean? He's like one of these horrible Olympic mascots. We just don't know what he is. He has antennas. Is he an ant?
It's a TV, right?
Is it a TV? Antennas sort of hang down in a creepy sort of insect kind of way. Not rabbit ear kind of thing. It's a TV, man?
It's an old TV, yeah.
Does he have boots on? Does he have elven shoes? Look, we're not retarded children. We understand. It's not like I ever said, wow, this is an amazing piece of technology. It's too bad they don't have a confusing, crappy animated mascot to go along with it. Otherwise, I would buy it. I'm sorry. I'll not go in for anything. That's why I haven't gotten a computer yet. It doesn't have a stupid, confusing mascot to go along with it. And an automobile. I walk to work today because my car doesn't have a stupid, confusing mascot. Do we need it for everything? Is somebody, let's just have an Olympics, let's have a sports franchise, let's have a TiVo, let's have whatever, fill in the blank, and leave the stupid mascot alone. We don't need it. It works. It's heroin. All right, one more. Let's go to the phones here. Mike?
Yes, Rosie O'Donnell announces she's not coming back on television.
I thought she was going over to The View.
Yeah.
No, she announces she's not going to come back.
I mean, this is a hypothetical?
Yes.
Oh. I can't go there, my friend. I can't go to that world. If I start complaining about stuff that hasn't happened yet, my head will explode. I already have my docket filled with stuff that has happened or is happening. The stuff that hasn't happened yet, I just can't complain about that. You can't say, oh, teleportation. You get from New York to L.A. in a tenth of a second. Now try to complain about that. Or men having penises and vaginas. Try to complain about that. I can't complain about the hypothetical. This is fantasy complaints. I live in the real world of complaining. Thank you very much.
Now he's all wound.
Wow. I am frothing with the gills.
Let me tell you who is upset. Brusca. And let me tell you someone else who's upset. Tad. With each other. They had a little scrum again, and now it needs to be resolved. Maybe we can do that when we get back.
Ooh. Why? What happened? You had a second?
No. They had a scrum before the show started.
Right.
And so we have to resolve that. Mm-hmm. Come back.
Well, what was the issue, Brusca?
Ted came late for maybe the 65th time.
What time is he supposed to be here?
5:30.
And he got here at what time?
5:51.
You're fired!
I like when people explain stuff that they had to do anyway or doesn't seem like a time waster. Like Tad does that. Like, Tad, why were you late? I had to get gas. Right. Well, you live in San Diego, so there's a good chance you're going to have to top off on an almost daily basis. And by the way, that takes 7 minutes tops. You know what I mean? You can run a mile. In 7 minutes, you can fill up your tank. That's a weird thing. Or the other one that people use in L.A. all the time is traffic. What happened? You just relocate? Helicopter dropped you in here from Arkansas? Of course, traffic every day, every way, every place. I don't believe him. Yes, he has been warned about being late how many times over the last 2 weeks, let's say?
65 times. I'll go with the same number.
What if you get him a driver? Would that work?
Yeah.
All right, let's resolve it when we come back.
All right, so Tad will be in here because we have punishment also to meet out. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll get to the bottom of that. Doug, our Indian intern, is going to do his Hollywood Happenings report as well. Oh, speaking of reports, Dave has a freshened up jerk report.
Look out.
Always room for one of you on it, so be careful. It always leaves a spot open. You know, let me tell you about the jerk report. The jerk report is like the COPA. It's like a mob club in New York from the 50s. Always a table. Always a table ready for a high roller. Last minute, I don't care if the place is booked. I don't care if Frankie Avalon's playing and the place is booked. You can always pull that one table up front on the jerk report. Am I right?
Absolutely. And be forewarned, jerks of the world, there's an army gathering. Like the Rebel Alliance against the evil empire. It grows every day. People are watching you, and if you act like a jerk, you're going to wind up on the report.
People can actually have candidates for
people
reports.
People calling and writing in to tell me about jerks in their lives.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll get to the bottom of the Brusca, Big Tad beef, and much, much more after this.
Want to talk to Adam? Call him at 866-901-ADAM.
I never got past high school math, so I'm not sure what pi is exactly, but any equation that involves dessert, I'm in for.
Well, Adam, my friends, will never run out of opinions. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Tad's chunky, a chunky flunky. Tad's chunky, chunky, a chunky flunky. Fat ass.
Big fat Tad makes a break room scene.
Reading the paper, not doing a thing.
Sits on his ass
like a tub of goo.
Great big head with a low IQ. D cup boobs.
Just like a lady.
Not so smart and filled with gravy.
Tad's chunky. A chunky flunky. Tad's chunky, chunky. A chunky flunky.
Big Tad hauled in the studio.
This is why I'm not getting laid with songs like this, by the way. And because
I can't understand why you're coming in late.
Producer Brisket has a beef, ironically. Brisket's got a beef with Big Tad. Lesbian. All right, please. Let's stay focused here for a second. Tad showed up late once again today.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. I mean, it's been a number of things over a long period of time.
What now?
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear?
Yeah, give me some.
All right. No.
So Tad, really, I don't ask much of him, but two jobs I do ask of him is to clean up the studio after we're done here.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, yesterday, there was stuff all over the studio.
Okay, can I say
let me finish, and then you'll be able to respond.
Go ahead.
Stuff all over the studio for the, modestly 35th time.
We'll
say 35 times he's left the studio mess.
Well, let me jump in for 1 second. As I've said many times, it's telling the same people the same thing over and over again that makes you a horrible employee. It's never, put your hand down, Big Tad. Put your hoof down, Big Tad.
I can't defend myself on this one.
All I'm saying is this is a general thing. I'm not addressing the studio. I am saying if you guys think about all the horrible employees you either work above or work next to or even below, it is not the conversation where you need to do this or you need to do that. It's that same conversation that takes place twice a week for the entire length of the person's employment and in general. I realize that I'm like Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day. I have had the same conversation with the same five stupid people my entire life over and over and over and over again.
And when I say clean up the studio, by the way, I don't mean like actually clean the studio. I just mean put stuff away. We've had stuff taken from here because it wasn't cleaned up, you know, which costs money. Headsets, which cost a lot of money, mm-hmm. are missing.
I do clean up the headsets, but now let me defend myself on this one.
And then you
let me defend myself on this one.
Go.
All right.
Make it quick.
There's a ton of papers around here that I do not know what you guys are using for the meeting, and I do not want to throw the wrong thing away, and that's why I leave the papers. I do clean up the headphones, though, and then...
Plus, he gets hungry and eats some of those papers.
Whatever it is. No, but listen. There was stuff here that we needed that was left out here that the next day would have been gone if Angie and I didn't clean up the studio.
The computers? Right. Wait, you're not letting me defend myself. The computers I leave out because you guys are using them during the meetings, and then I have to leave by 10:30 because I got to go do
We get off the air at 9:50. Between 9:50 and 10:30, you have plenty of time to put stuff away.
Okay,
so it's not missing.
I will put the headsets away. I do put the headsets away.
Let me move on.
I think you should take off your shirts and sumo wrestle.
All right, another job that I asked him to do: set up the studio. So when he comes late by 25 minutes, he's scrambling usually to set up the studio. Today, Mike, the intern, who's also screening calls now.
Was he screening calls at the time when
he was actually setting up something? He was doing about three different jobs. He doesn't get paid. Ted gets paid. He comes in, strolls into 5:51. And the studio's not set up.
All right, enough.
The studio would have been
set up, though, by Levy punch one direction or the other.
The studio would have been set up anyway by the time Adam got here.
How many times has Tad been late since we started, would you say?
6 months in. Almost 6 months in. I'd say, seriously, I'm not lying here, I'd say around 60.
Now, Tad, very quickly.
I swear to God.
Called you a short midget.
Very quickly.
There's a few more things you need to hear.
All right, you've spoken your piece, though. Tad, do you have any issues with Brusca?
I have one that he doesn't believe that we can do stuff out there. He comes out every single time and doesn't think we're doing jobs. I'm looking for stuff on the computer, and I am trying to do my best for the show, but you don't think we're doing it right.
All right. I will say you do look for stuff on the computer sometimes. I will say that. tells interns to do his job. When I ask him to stuff, sometimes I hear later that he's asked the interns to do it, which is classic.
He's a delegator.
Didn't you say pawn it off on the interns if I'm doing something?
Well, yes, I do say things like, I like some milk for my coffee, which frequently goes bad in the mini fridge, and I say, if you don't have time to do it, tell someone else to go do it, but make sure it gets done.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
All right. But then you're on pro wrestling websites.
I'm looking for stories. I have sent Brusca, Angie, basically, and Damashek a bunch of stories that I haven't even heard on the air yet. And if they're not funny, they're not funny, but I am sending you guys stuff.
But you've pitched the Iron Sheik as a guest 11 times.
Come on.
He's getting a hip replacement. You think that's news? He's turned Al-Qaeda.
Other thing that bothers me like crazy is like when I ask him why you're late or stuff, he always has these lame excuses. Make something up. I want you to lie to me.
Wait, I want you to say
my grandmother's sick. I want you to say I'm not feeling well. Don't say I had to go get gas.
No, I get yelled at. I got yelled at for lying on the other show I was on. But I'm trying to be truthful with you.
All right, I appreciate the truthfulness, but it's so ridiculous why you're late because you had to go get gas.
Ted, I don't know you very well, but it sounds like there's something really deep down going on with you because this is all very good. Constructive criticism for you, and I would think that you would say okay when there's this many things.
I have said okay many a times, but there's
that thing deep down is the 20 piece McNuggets he ate on the way in.
It actually was in the ninth grade. It's lodged there permanently. Tad, I say and this is you're probably late, I'd say, an average of once a week. So whatever that turns out to be over the course of the 4 or 5 months we've been on the air, you can do the math. There's consequences for actions like this, and I'm going to mete out a little punishment now that this is the punitive stage of the argument. Dave had a good idea. It was
you
born.
Blame it, Dave, again.
Well, Dave and I have made many a trip to the bathroom here, and according to my calculations, there's only one bathroom, not only on this floor, but it seems like in West Hollywood, because there is an ass parked on the toilet every single time we go into the bathroom. That could be at 6:05 in the morning, or that could be at 10:25. Somebody is constantly defecating in the men's bathroom. It is a cacophony, a symphony of gas as we walk in there every time.
It's a stench house.
And I'm starting to think that maybe there's something like, I started to think, remember the movie Speed? If the bus dropped lower than 50 miles an hour, it would blow up. I think Jack Silver made a decree or planted it with plastique that says, look, if there's not a constant 70 pounds of pressure on this toilet seat, meaning an ass must be perched on the seat, the building will go up in flames. It seems like that decree was made because there's constantly an ass, and I'll see guys, one ass slides out, the other one slides right on top of it to keep the pressure on the seat. Point is your punishment, Big Tad, is to spend time. We're calling it a toilet timeout. We're going to need you to hit the bathroom and stay there. How long should he stay there, Dave? What do you think?
Well, that's Ruska, up to you. The sentencing.
Tomorrow?
Till tomorrow? He'll still be late.
I mean, you can go 15 minutes, half hour, rest of the show.
How about 1 minute for every time he's been late?
Yeah, but who's going to look up the pro wrestlers if Big Tad is... I say at least an hour, and we'll see. Again, it's one of these things. If I, you know, it's like the prison system. We'll review your parole in an hour. If I find out that you carved a shank out of a bar of soap or something, we're gonna add time on to it.
But if you're a model,
model bathroom prisoner, maybe we'll let you out.
And if he's remorseful and admits that he screwed up, maybe he can get out.
I did tell you I screwed up, and I apologize for it.
Not just this time, all your screw-ups.
And okay, by the way, how many times? 65? Sorry. Right. Sorry.
Dan,
sorry.
Since he always tells Jaron what to do, I'm going to have Jaron escort him to the bathroom.
Wow.
I've always told you what to do.
Black guy,
I've asked for your help. I never said anything.
Black man taking a white man to the joint. This is a twist.
All right,
walk him over there. Well,
I have a feeling Tad's going to find Jesus while he's in there.
And get another tattoo.
You just made the hit list, pal.
Uh-oh.
That's Jaron, too, bro.
Go,
I thought you were my brother. Think
about what you've done, Tad.
All right, Tad, go in there.
What am I supposed to do in there?
You're supposed to repay your debt to society.
Okay.
And think about what you've done.
Yeah.
And smell the smells that the toilet's offering.
Yeah, right. It's really a punishment for all the guys who have to go in there and take a duke and stare at Big Tad's huge calves through the crack at the bottom of the door.
Fair point. I hate you, Dave.
All right, go in there. We will take ourselves a little break. We put a mic in there, right?
Yeah, we'll be hearing from Tad in the bathroom.
Oh,
imagine what that foam wind cover is going to smell like after a couple hours.
If Ruska has a particularly, if he has a big axe to grind, maybe he'll even go into the toilet and make a deposit. I'm not feeling well.
Well, I got to tell you, there's a 3-week waiting list. So if you want to go number two, I think we could squeeze you in late May, probably early June.
Tougher to get into than the Ivy.
Yeah. All right, it's been a cancellation. We will. He's crapping standby. There's just guys in the hall waiting for people to drop off. Doug, the intern, the Indian intern, is going to come in here with his Hollywood happenings. We'll do that after this.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show with your ears. But for a little change, use your eyes and see how much more fun it can be and stuff kind of like stuff.
Stick around. We've got more. The Adam Carolla Show.
No, that's not it at all.
You don't like that? You don't like the other?
Basically, I feel like I should be the only Indian. I have to be the only one. And that's the way it goes, man.
That's Sarjeet.
Doug.
He likes to be called Doug. Yeah, Doug. His, says Sergeant on his driver's license, but he wants his American friends to call him Doug. Aluwalia.
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 You getting along with the other interns?
Oh, yeah. They're not, you know, I don't want to be rude or anything, but the American kids are very lazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should outsource our interns. Yeah, that's smart.
I mean,
yeah.
I think you did a fantastic job the first time with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then these others, I don't know about what they're doing.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little soft. Maybe we need another war or
one
something.
One chap didn't even want to pick up the papers.
Well, we sent Big Tad to a toilet timeout, perhaps.
Let me tell you something. Mm. Tad's a big, big boy.
Yeah, yeah. Know, no, they don't come in that India, size where you're from, yeah.
In India, he's a whole village.
Wow.
Yep.
So he would have a mare. And
people would worship him.
Oh, wow.
He is a sign of fantastic wealth. Very, very wealthy.
Well, if you do that, yeah. I mean, if a guy in India is over 180 pounds, he's considered well-to-do. Imagine Big Tad.
Tad is the Taj Mahal of people.
He really does. He has many rooms. But now he resides in the bathroom.
Hey, what's happening?
Uh-oh.
There he is.
Big Tad?
I just laid two buns down, and Jaron is not enjoying life right now.
Really? Really, you're blowing gas in
yes,
there?
Yes, I am.
Well, interesting. So you've I just added on 15 minutes for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this is not the correct behavior, Tad.
Hey, I don't care. Billy and Jaron are in here right now, and they deserve everything that's happening to them right now. There is a meeting in the boys' room.
Well, Tad was sent there as punishment because he keeps being late, and Brusca has had it with it. So Corolla stepped in, and this is the punishment he decided.
Where are you all going?
He sounds like he's enjoying it.
They're getting out of there. Big Tad, check back with us when someone drops a deuce, would you please?
And leave him alone with his thoughts.
Okay.
Billy and everyone else. Leave them in there. And the people moving their bowels. Those are the only people that should be in there.
That's right. This is no country club. This is not, Michael Milken and his buddies, his white collar buddies. This is hard time.
Right.
All right. Sorry, Sergeant.
Cell block S.
Doug. Doug is out here. Doug wants to get on the air. Doug loves the Hollywood lifestyle.
Oh, there's so much.
So he decided to do a little report called The Hollywood Happening. So without any further ado, let's enjoy Sergeant, you know him as Doug, with his Hollywood happenings.
Okay, folks. Britney has baby bump.
Yeah.
That's it, man. She's going to have another baby. She's breeding like Indian women in India, I guess. That's the way it would happen there.
Right.
And she just had one child 7 months ago.
Yeah.
What's wrong? She's fertile as hell.
Yeah, she's fertile.
She can't sit on the toilet seat without Tad being in the room, I guess. Okay. And actor Randy Quaid has dropped lawsuit over Brokeback Mountain pay. He was suing them because the movie made buku bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of money.
$82 million it made, and he was suing them for $10 million. So apparently he wasn't paid properly the first time. So that means that Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger are not the only two who took it in the butt in that movie. So
it's good stuff. I think it's Ledger. I think it's Heath.
Ledger. It how you say it?
Ledger.
Oh, yeah, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, it's a tough name, especially from your part of the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, we have very simple names.
Sure. Gandhi.
Gandhi. Mahatma.
Mahatma.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah.
Sarjeet.
Sarjeet.
Yeah, Aluwalia. Aluwalia.
My friend Bhupinder Gotwal. Very simple name.
Very simple.
But not this bloody Ledger and Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
It's two A's. What are the two A's?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wonder about like the name Aaron. You know, the male name Aaron. Does that have to have two A's at the beginning?
It's greedy.
Yeah, it's greedy. I feel like they've taken one of my A's.
They are.
I could have used another day. That's right.
You would have sounded like goat.
Ooh, I'm getting hungry. Yeah.
Curried goat.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Goat. Love goats.
Oh, yeah. Many a goat has run.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Simpson, not the brightest person in the world.
Mm-mm.
I love very beautiful.
And rich now.
Most attractive.
That's your kind of lady, Sergi.
Oh, yeah. That's American dream.
Boobies!
Yes. Fantastic boobies.
Did you see her as a redhead?
I didn't like her as a redhead.
Didn't like that?
I like the blonde. Strawberry blonde too, Stace.
Thank you for noticing.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of strawberry blondes in... Where are you from again?
India.
India.
Yeah. Where the hell do I sound like I'm from?
I forgot.
She thought Indiana. She wasn't listening.
Same thing. Now, Jessica, this mm-hmm. bloody idiot, mm-hmm. she's at LAX mm-hmm. going through X-ray security, which mm-hmm. I know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm developing a latex allergy.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yes, you're being profiled.
Yeah, a little bit. They don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm,
they see brown and that's all they see.
Yeah, I know.
They see brown and then they see red.
I know.
So that's not good.
Right.
So she's going through security mm-hmm. and she has her dog with her.
Mm-hmm.
And bloody fool puts her dog through the X-ray.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Nothing happened, but what person puts a dog through?
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Chicken of the sea first, now the dog in the X-ray.
Yeah. When will it end?
It's not going to end. Mm. And news wasn't, and Kanye West, lots of money this chap has.
Yeah.
Again, buku bucks.
Yeah.
I want to know, what's up?
What do you want to know?
He leased a Mercedes.
Mercedes?
That's sure, whatever fancy mm-hmm. name you give it.
Mm-hmm.
He leased G500 mm-hmm. for $1,295 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't paid it.
Really?
What's up with that?
Yeah.
George like Bush that. Doesn't care about black people.
I like
that's
that.
Maybe
what's
that's
up?
Why he didn't pay.
Yeah.
George Bush doesn't care about black people, and he doesn't care about Mercedes.
He doesn't care about Germans.
Who cares about Germans?
Oh, well, that's a good point. I wonder sometimes with these people, if they have handlers who are supposed to do these things. Sometimes in the rap community, they hire delinquent uncles and family members to take care of these things.
Like Uncle Junebug.
Uncle Junebug, and maybe Uncle Junebug forgot to cut a check to McKenna Mercedes.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Mm. So they're suing him for $53,000 for the car.
Mm.
That's not good, huh?
Mm-mm.
And then also, wasn't a lot of news this week to... there's a couple of more things.
Mm.
The news was a little stale, so even Tommy Davidson made it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even in the comedy world...
The guy from the Pazone commercial?
Is that what that's what he's doing?
Yeah,
Pazone. Oh, yeah.
Is that Tommy Davidson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lovely experience with him doing the Hugh Hefner roast in New York. He was completely cut out of the roast and had to fly home with him from New York, and it was a very uncomfortable situation.
Eddie Griffin was on that roast, no?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he was.
He do.
Was he cut out?
Funny stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, Tommy Davidson, yes.
So his car wouldn't start.
Mm.
Well, you know, he is driving BMW,
mm-hmm.
and he was with a date, blonde.
Mm-hmm.
See, smart guy,
knows
what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
And his car was not starting in front of a club.
Mm.
You know, he was at the Shag, LA Hotspot.
Uh-huh.
That's not Hotspot. You want Hotspot? Kitson, the Ivy, that's Hotspot.
Yeah.
The Shag, never heard of it.
Sure. Can't make the scene there.
Yeah, bloody fool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's him. And now in London, England,
mm-hmm.
they have celebrity parking meters. Now, I think this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, how's it work?
Apparently, vehicle crime in London is getting harder to fight. So mm-hmm. the local police are turning to celebrity voices to take action.
Mm-hmm.
So the police in Sheffield... I mm-hmm. started using parking meters to talk when you pay to grab people's attention to turn off the active crime wave that's going on. There.
So the parking meter would tell you to lock your doors and turn your alarm on, that kind of thing?
But it has like voice of Simon Cowell, mm-hmm. David Beckham, Sean Connery, Michael Caine.
Mm.
I think this is a good idea all over the world. In India, all Amitabh Bachchan and Salman Khan and all these fellows can do it. And we, hey, buddy, you left your keys in the car.
Right.
You see?
That's right.
Yeah, or a song. Nice Hindi song.
Right.
To play, and you'll, you don't want to go and leave your car because there's music playing.
Right. Hold on 1 second, okay. Sarjeet. Doug. Big Tad?
Yes, Adam.
You're in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Somebody's on the pot?
Yeah, someone's in the handicap handicap potty, and he's dropping a deuce, but thank God it doesn't smell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because he can hear you right now while he's uncomfortably trying to drop the deuce?
No, no. Actually, it doesn't smell at all.
All right.
Is he really handicapped?
No.
No.
He's skinny.
All right.
He's a
so
skinny man.
Only skinny people can't be handicapped.
Yeah. No, I'm saying he's skinny.
Only you must be handicapped. You're fat.
Hey, listen here, you punk. Come in here.
Hey, Tad. Tad, how about you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Yell, hey, brother, how about a courtesy flush? I'm dying over here.
Hey, brother, how about a courtesy flush? I'm dying over here.
Nothing.
And by the way, all right, get rid of Big Tad. The courtesy flush should be taught in school. I mean, there's a lot of things they talk about that they teach you. Who the hell needs algebra? Who needs calculus? Some of these, even half of the history lessons don't need to be taught, but the courtesy flush, how to fill out a checkbook, things like that, need to be taught. The courtesy flush, a lot of folks don't know, especially in a public place, folks. When your ass hits the toilet, hit the courtesy flush. It diminishes the damage by at least 65%. And that's clinical data. I've actually done studies on it.
We're both shaking our head, obviously.
This is very rude what's happening.
No, I'm sorry.
I was in the middle of doing my job.
Yeah.
And then you guys go off on crap.
No, I know, literally. I know, and you're on such a roll, too, talking about parking meters.
I was killing it.
You were, all right. Well, give us one more.
No, that's it. All stories are done.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way it goes, man.
Yeah. I just love that. I love your tagline. Thanks. I really do, Sarjeet.
We got to have a tagline.
Yeah.
I think we heard it.
The sound of a toilet flushing, yeah. Let's just hear it one more time. I really can't get enough of it.
And that's the way it goes, man.
Solid as Sears.
By the way, Doug the intern, you'll see him tonight.
Mmm.
No, I won't be there. But a fantastic Indian comedian named Russell Peters will be there.
Oh, he's a friend of yours.
Oh, I don't know him personally. Who really knows this man? He's a fantastic.
Yes.
We love him.
He rocks. Hollywood Improv. Carolla will be there. Jeff Ross. David
very funny.
Tell, David Alan Greer.
All the Jews.
Def Rat Guy.
Dave Attell.
I'm selling it, fella.
Thanks. We're sold out, so forget it.
I'm just saying, it's going to be a nice time.
What time cares? Is tonight,
we're sold out, 8 o'clock.
What are you pushing my buttons for?
Uh-oh.
With the jerk report.
Oh,
the time
man.
Is nigh, and you have the gall.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Hey, man, I'm sorry. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I take it back. All right, Doug, thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Nice job. Dave's got his aforementioned jerk report coming up. Also, comedian Jeff Ross that we just spoke of, King of the Roast, going to be in here later on as well. All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons, not only in the marketing of Kiss, but the marketing of his own testicles. He's announced to the world, this is who I am, this is how I work.
Every woman complains that none of the guys tell her the truth. So you should look into the eyes of your beloved and say, I desire you with every inch of my being, but I want your mommy and your sister too. As long as you get that out of the way, then you're fine.
Yeah, smart.
Mini Adam, Carolla's sidekick man. Mini Adam, his mom's his biggest fan. Mini Adam, he's got a bald spot and a big nose. Thinks he's the best looking guy on the show.
Yeah, like being the tallest guy on the midget basketball team.
I don't think I'm
Mini Adam, he's like Carolla Light. Mini Adam, can't say sandwich right. Mini Adam.
Sandwich.
Born and raised in the Keystone State. Watches the Steelers while he masturbates.
I've heard enough.
Wow.
Sandwich. Sandwich. Well, I guess we can get started a little earlier than I expected.
Mm.
Here's a sneak preview. Rich Banks, who wrote that song, here's a little something for you in return.
Mm.
Jerk!
Hold on. Speaking of jerk, I want to talk to Meg real quick. Meg?
Hello.
How are you, Meg?
Oh, my gosh. You're going to make me jump out the 9th-story window.
Really?
I am. I can't take it.
Who can't you take?
I can't take Tad, we got rid of Tad at K-Rock 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I
know.
And I can't take it.
I know. He's really, he's like, He's like some horrible dermatological condition, like shingles or something. You think you've beat it, you think you've gotten rid of it, and pow, comes back on you.
So this isn't a new problem with him, then?
No.
I think it's really simple. He's only there because he doesn't want to work. And I can't believe that you have him there.
Well, 10 years ago, Jimmy and I were talking, and I say 10 years ago, I mean more like 12 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a bad perception.
12 years ago, me and Jimmy were talking to Big Tad about A, moving out of his mom's house, and B, his attitude, and C, we used to call it tattitude, and C, his tardiness. Well, now 12, 13 years later, Jimmy's moved on to late night television. I've moved on to early morning radio.
And Tad is in the public bathroom as punishment for being late all the time.
But I think you're really punishing us and yourselves.
That's a good point.
I don't think it's worth it. Oh, my God.
You're right. You're right, Meg.
I can't take it.
He's saying put an end to the madness.
I am. Don't put me through this for years. Okay. I've only listened to 97.1 because of you. I only put it on because of you.
Thanks, Meg.
You know, but I can't take Tad.
All right. Well, we'll get rid of him.
Thank you.
He's in the bathroom if you need him.
Don't.
All right. Tad?
Yeah. Hey, Dave?
Hello?
Can you put her on your jerk report?
Oh, Meg? I think she hung up.
Jerk!
All right. Is anyone in the head as we speak?
No, actually, I think people listen to the show, and I don't think anybody's coming into this bathroom.
Well, that's an interesting ploy, because this...
Wait, hold on. Our front guy is now unzipping his fly and going into the bathroom as we speak.
When we say front guy, you mean...
Our receptionist.
Ah, okay. We have a male
guy. Front
guy.
I still don't know a lot of names around here.
No S, Sherlock. All right, well, listen, I figure you're on the outs anyway, so might as well not get too cozy with any of the employees.
Why, because you're going to listen to Meg, who's on the jerk report now?
Well, she does make a pretty valid point, Big Tad.
But you're my daddy, Daddy.
All right, Tad, you just sit there and inhale the essence of the other men who dropped their dukes. We need to do a little something called the jerk report. Dave?
The jerk report with Dave Damashek reporting.
Mm-hmm. All right, let it begin. Mm-hmm. Lots to get to.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, as it starts each week, yes, this is the jerk report. Yes, that is Creep playing underneath by Radiohead. If you feel obliged to put that, to point that out, I feel obliged to say that you are a jerk. Let's plow ahead. Earlier this morning, Pat O'Brien from The Insider, 2 weeks in a row, has joined us now to talk to Kibitz about Hollywood happenings, so on and so forth. He keeps talking to you about his Christmas party. When I ask if I can come, he says no. You know what I say? Jerk!
Wow.
All right, the big story this week, David Blaine.
Yeah.
So-called magician. I'm not sure what he actually does, what the magic is. He attempted to break the world record for holding his breath underwater.
Yeah.
And here's how he explained himself. He likened himself to the greatest magician of all time, Harry Houdini. Here's how that went.
Houdini would say, when people would go against him and criticize him, because there's always skeptics, his response was simple. He'd say, whatever you do, just spell my name right. Say what you want, but spell my name right. I'm David Blaine.
All right, well, listen. You failed. You didn't come close to breaking the record. I don't know how to spell Blaine, but I do know J-E-R-K. If my spelling is correct, that spells jerk.
And for the love of Christ, could you put a shirt on? David Blaine, yes. Here's the deal. You're a magician. You're a showman. What happened to the goddamn cape?
And the magic.
And the magic.
What
get
magic
a wand,
doing?
Get a chick in glittery stuff, and get an effing cape.
Yeah.
Tired of watching this guy with no shirt on.
I hear you. Speaking of people half nude, this Duke Lacrosse story.
That's my porn name.
That's right. Right. It's also a school that has a sports team called lacrosse.
All right. Brisket, get my attorney on the phone. That's a sue some
this
people using
is,
my name.
Yeah, I know. Chicken or the egg. I don't recall which
what
one was
came
first. Now, this one's confusing for me. You know, on one hand, you keep hearing the stripper is lying. Then on the other hand, you hear the players are lying. One thing's for sure. Someone's a jerk. I don't know who.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is a preemptive one.
Uh-huh.
Let it be known. One of the two of you on this story is a jerk.
So this isn't...
I'm not saying who is the jerk.
Yeah, you're saying this is sort of a carpet bombing jerk
That's
report.
Right.
You may take out innocent villagers. It doesn't matter.
Be forewarned.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Thank you. Next. There was something that happened in here yesterday. I was providing a service naming the best potato preparation of the year for 2006.
Mm-hmm.
As you recall, among the nominees was French fries. Mm-hmm. French fries won.
Right.
Then that led into a subsection of the best kind of French fry. Mm-hmm. Curly fry, wedge, shoestring, steak. Here's how that, and then so I announce it. And right. Here's what happens.
So with no further ado,
oh, really?
Best kind of
really?
French fry. Shoestring. Shoestring fry. No.
No. Cheese fries are better than shoestring.
You and Teresa, me.
Mm.
I announce that the shoestring fry is the best fry, and all what I get from you, you don't me. Oh, yeah, you're going to me? I got something for you. Jerk! Now wait a second. I don't. That comes off wrong. If I don't. I'm not going to jerk.
Not too late.
You know what I'm saying?
I already got one.
You're a jerk. All right. Here's one that really upsets me. I was in. Oh, by the way, before I do this, I'm printing some stuff out because you know. Let it be known, jerks of the world. You want to act like a jerk? So be it. But the army is growing.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebel Alliance is swelling. The ground support.
Mm-hmm.
The jerks of the world. The evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
The Rebel Alliance. Solo. Chewbacca. Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Damashek. And you, the listener, are out there looking at you, jerks. And you're going to get taken down.
Right.
Now, as far as that goes, I get an email from Robbie on the message board. He proposes Matt Leiner for the list, because he's like, he's a great USCQ quarterback, golden boy, please. Golden
Brian
boy.
Went to SC, yeah.
Right. Fantastic, but now he's making time with Paris Hilton.
Hold on.
Getting a little too fancy.
Let me just jump in a second. You know the guys who brag they graduated from college and they had an A, they had a 4.0 and so forth, but they're shining your shoes while they're explaining it to you. But keep it close to the vest until you get a gig that pays over $8 an hour. Then brag about college.
All right, Brian's getting a little too liberal with the gun. That's not for you to decide, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Matt Leinart's making time with Paris Hilton.
Yes.
Has he not seen The Natural? Did he not see what happened to Roy Hobbs when he started making time with Kim Basinger, a.k.a. Memo? In that picture, be
evidently
careful with yourself,
not.
Liner.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a pass on this one.
Mm.
But you do it again, and you will be a jerk, sir.
Wow. Oof. Interesting. We've not had anyone in the crosshairs, but you haven't squeezed the trigger yet. I like that.
All right, two more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that this coal mining thing, you know, every other day on the news, more people stuck in the well, stuck down in the pits, digging up coal.
Right.
And it's sad every time you have to hear about it. Sounds like a torturous way to go and everything.
Right.
Here's my question. What do we need coal for anymore?
I have no idea.
It's 2006.
Actually,
what do we use coal for?
I do know a little about coal, Dave.
Here we go. Brian, the USC graduate weighing in.
There's almost like 6 billion tons used worldwide, 75% of it for electricity production.
Well, there you go.
I don't need to be shown up. Brian, you are a jerk.
Wow, you see what happens?
Don't you do that to me. You don't do that.
But you
jerk,
told me to
do it.
Thank you.
All right, one more.
Yeah.
I was printing out the jerk report, and the printer jammed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The printer jammed on me.
Mm.
Now, of course, your mind thinks, oh, well, he's going to name the printer as the jerk. No. Here's what I did. I punched the printer in the side, like Fonzie, to make it go. It doesn't work anymore.
Here's really?
Remember in the day, like 20 years ago, TVs, radios, they were giving you trouble. You just punched them in the side, and we all could be Fonz, if only for a moment. Technology has come so far that no longer works. These scientists who they think they're making a world a better place, I say you're jerks.
Yeah, everything's got a chip in it now, and it's no good. It used to be, we had an old Zenith black and white TV. We actually hired a Mexican just to stand at prime time and just pound it. It was uncomfortable. Manuel was a good man, God rest his soul. He used to just stand in our living room and he'd just pound on top of this old Zenith. I used to do it, but I got tired of getting up. And it was we would watch all the sitcoms of the day.
Labor.
It was just, we just hired a guy.
Manuel.
Back at the time, we paid him $265, $270 an hour. And we only had him during prime time. You know, we didn't use him. We didn't use him. And I didn't have him to watch Speed Racer during the afternoon or the nightly news.
No,
we
had him, be humane.
Yeah, yeah, we had him between 8 and 10 o'clock, and he just stood there and pounded the set. And occasionally, we'd call him over on a weekend if a good sporting event was on.
Sounds Manuel. Like a good job for Tad, maybe.
Yes, you used to be able to beat the S out of your appliances. Toasters you could give a good pounding to, and TVs and radios, everything you could hit. You know, you could just smack stuff. Now, can't do it anymore. Can't even hit bitches anymore. What kind of society are we living in?
Society, Adam. Jerk! Now, this all leads to the announcement of Creep of the Week.
Mm-mm.
Here we go.
Already.
The Creep of the Week. He's a man who you may or may not have heard of. He plays professional baseball. This week, he hit a home run. The ball has some value to people, to collectors and stuff. You can make a great sum of loot if you happen to be the lucky one who catches it. Well, a serviceman, a U.S. serviceman, a man who flies our nation's jets to defend our country, caught that ball. This guy, his name, I think Barry Bonds is his name. He refused to sign the baseball.
Oof.
Therefore, sir, I don't care if by this time next week you're number 3 on the all-time home run list, number 2, I don't care if you hit 60 home runs and suddenly you're the all-time leader. To me, you'll always be a jerk. And, sir, you are, for the 14th straight week, the Creep of the Week.
Wow, feels like more. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break.
Wow,
nice
Corolla
job.
Corolla getting in ahead of the game, making an early statement for next week's Jerk Report.
Just saying. All right, nice job with the Jerk Report. We have, who do we got? Oh, we have Christian and Jeff Ross. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, and Jeff Ross. Are we bringing them in early, or are we doing it in the 9 o'clock hour?
9 o'clock hour. They're on the way.
Oh, all right. Add Brusca to the Jerk Report. Also, news and sports coming up. Some Aussie movie trivia all after this.
Want to talk to Adam? Call him at 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Peter Griffin, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's about as good as it gets. Almost as good as hot Asian chicks.
Adam, my friends, will never run out of opinions. This is the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, David Damashek. This is April from last night. I just wanted to tell you that I wouldn't say anything to anybody about your little makeout session with Brusca. I'm really sorry I interrupted you two, but I really had to go to the bathroom.
I would love to help you. I know how your show is going. I heard it a couple times. I'm even willing to change my schedule and work for free.
First of all, can we please have no more playmates or porn stars on? It's like, it's so boring. We never learn anything. It's lame. And that intern who you had, who was set up on a date with Nick Cannon, she's not even hot.
No.
Not nice.
Thinner Larissa? I beg to differ.
That's outrageous.
He's just
they
jealous.
Saw it, they obviously did not see Extra last night.
Yeah, Larissa.
She went on a date with Nick Cannon.
Larissa is hot. I think we can all at least agree on that. We argue about many things. One thing we can agree on is that intern Larissa is hot.
Aren't all interns hot?
Larissa, you had a... Would you have a long night last night?
I'm really tired today, but I don't know why.
What'd you do last night?
I didn't really do much. I sat at home.
If you did Nick Cannon last night...
No. And I actually hung out with my dad and then just went to bed.
Oh, that is sick.
By the way, Nick Cannon did not call her back.
Wow.
I know.
They went on a date, went on Extra.
It's been a week, right?
Yeah.
Well, screw
I've been
him.
Rejected.
He's high. All right.
Did you set it up that he would call you right away, or how'd you leave it?
Okay. I don't know. It was very awkward. He was just like, oh, let me get your information when I'm in town. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's a very busy guy.
Get back with Jerron, would you?
Hey, where are the white women at?
They'll treat you like a princess. All right. We, a little business to take care of here. First, I just want to take a phone call from Matt. Matt?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's happening?
I got a question for you regarding replacement windows.
Mm-hmm.
I've got original aluminum windows on my house right now. It was built in 73.
Mm-hmm.
And the stucco, I'm going to have the windows put in, and the stucco... The area underneath my windows going down to the ground, my windows have this cheesy molding around them that's about 4 inches wide, and it goes from the roof line down to the ground, and the area in between the molding underneath the windows is about an inch more recessed into the wall. It's still stucco, but it's recessed into the wall, so mm-hmm. I need to build that out. I'm going to take off that cheesy molding, and I need to build that out. And what's the best way to build that out and re-stucco it?
You want to build up the stucco?
Yeah.
You want a stucco on top of stucco?
Pretty much. If that, I mean, do I just go directly on top?
It's great. It's a great Bob Dylan album, by the way, Stucco on Stucco. Yeah, you could build it up, I guess. Here's how stucco works. First, you have your K-lath. That's the lath with the paper behind it, the tar paper. Then the first coat you put on, scratch coat. Put it on with a notched trowel.
I've done some stucco.
Well, not everyone has done stucco, Matt. Okay, some people would like to learn about stucco. Thank you very much. Now, where was I? You're now a contender for Dave's Jerk Report, by the way. He interrupted my stucco rant. Scratch coat, brown coat, and then the final color coat. The three coats in the stucco family. I imagine if you just have to build it up an inch, although inch would be the max, you're going to have to scar it up. You're going to have to clean it real good, maybe hit it with a water blaster, and then take a diamond blade and put X's and things in it so it'll adhere. And then you just go ahead and do your three coats again and build it up right on top of it and finish it off however the existing is finished, I imagine, with a sponge trowel.
I should not put down some lath in there for the stucco?
Yeah, wouldn't hurt. Yeah, I guess you could.
An inch thick layer is kind of
it's kind of max. Yeah, you could do that. I don't know. You're going to have to find the studs because you want to nail into the lath into the studs. It's a little bit of a job. Either way, I bet you could just scar it up and use stucco. But you know what I would use? I would use cement or concrete adhesive, an actual glue, and mix it in. When you mix up the stucco, put the glue in there. It helps it adhere.
Okay.
All right, good times. Now,
we built this city.
Everyone seems to universally hate this song. I recognize it as a horrible song,
Please.
But I don't hate it.
I used to drink to it all the time. Way back.
It's a bad song, and it's pretentious.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to defend it somehow.
No. It's pretty bad, yeah. Let me say this, though. I will say this. I will say that this is a pretentious, crappy song, but I don't mind the tune itself, where songs like Dirty Laundry, I not only hate the song, I hate the sound of the song.
Give us a little Dirty Laundry there, Brian. Everything about this song is lousy. Please do not defend the tune.
The bubble-headed blonde, right?
Yeah, well, there's some songs that, here's what I'm saying. There's food that is bad and bad for you, but it tastes good. We talked about the Jack in the Box tacos. Not good for you. Not good food.
Right.
Tastes good for some reason. There are a lot of songs that I file under that department.
I agree with that. That song is not one of them. Here's your Dirty Laundry, though.
Still holds up, though, doesn't it? Now, would you rather hear this song?
I guess I'm
love,
really bad
you love,
taste.
You love? Well, then I hope you love The Door, because it's right there.
I don't know.
It just brings back good memories.
Good memories of you thinking about killing yourself because you heard this goddamn song in 1984?
I think of a bowling alley in Cincinnati. That's what I think.
Well, that's just it, sweetie. All my memories are dark. I'm like that guy from the movie Crow. Always raining. Standing and looking out a window. Leah, thank you. Leah?
Yeah?
Now let me see if I can get this right. You met a friend of ours in Las Vegas.
I did.
Steve, right?
I met Steve in Las Vegas.
You told Steven that you like Big Tad.
I'm a fan of his. I'm a big fan of his from when he was on Kevin Bean.
Right. So you love tardiness and hoagie consumption.
And promoting other radio shows.
I don't know. Does he?
Yeah. Well, obviously, he ain't getting that way on pemmican and stream water.
I mean, he's obviously eating. Him. I have no clue what he looks like.
You've never seen him? All you have to do is look out any window, and you'll say part of Big Tad. He's like the sun. What's going on with your...
Line here in Vegas?
Oh, for Christ's sake. Everyone with their cell phones. Leah, Yeah. Are you interested in dating Big Tad?
I am personally not interested. I'm just a fan of his.
That you told Steven, our friend, that you were interested in Tad. Tad, Steven was hitting on you, and then you said, so Adam Carolla Show came up, and then you said that you were actually interested in Tad, and now you're saying you're not.
No,
you can't trust good-looking women.
I'm interested in getting him in touch with one of my friends that could be more on his level.
Speaking of your friends, we hear your D cup.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Really? Natural?
Oh, God. I live in Vegas. What do you think?
Fake? Yes?
Fake.
I paid for them. They're mine.
Oh, okay. All right. And what do you do? Do you dance for a living?
No, I'm actually a student out here, and I work for a vodka company.
Why get the D cups if you're just going to go to UNLV?
They were more proportionate to my body. I was a dancer before, like a ballet dancer.
Ballet.
Hey, buddy. Look at Leia's coming to the stage. Could you grin at Jeff, your lady? Shasta, stage 9. Shasta. Everybody, I'm a fat guy with a leather fanny pack. I got a triple chin, but I grew facial hair, and I shave it in just such a way where it looks like I have a jawline. I got a ponytail. I'm going to offer happy rides home about 4 a.m. and ask everyone to do a little bump in my ranchero. Jade, stage 4. Jade, blah, 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 blah. Hey, lady, if you'll let show me appreciate him out there, would ya? Tammy, stage 1. Leah coming to stage 9. Elizabeth, she got herself a store-bought D-cup. She shakes her moneymaker. She shakes a good show. You appreciate it. Open your wallets and see if you can hit the sweet spot. She's going to junior college. She hates her stepdad. Wait a minute. This is getting cathartic. I would, I say if somebody stabbed one of these guys, no court in the land would ever convict them. You just sit there and go, look, I had wood, I was this close, and then this guy popped up. Oh, what a gig.
Yeah, but this is bad. I feel bad for Bruska. This is bringing back bad memories. He put himself through school as a cocktail waitress at a topless bar. He wasn't good looking enough to do the actual dancing, but those bosoms sell themselves. And they are all real. Correct? They are real, right, Bruska?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. Yeah.
Where do you go? Do you junior college?
No, I go to University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of huge junior college, but you go to
Harvard of Las Vegas.
Yes,
right. It's at least not Reno.
You go to you go to UNLV. What are you majoring in?
Communications. I actually graduate this Saturday. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. How about you communicate with Big Tad's junk?
Oh, I'll get him to communicate with my other friend's junk.
Why are you trying to pawn me off on someone else?
Yeah, what's up? There's Big Tad from his office.
Yeah.
Coming to us live from the public toilet that he was sentenced to for arguing with Bruska.
Yeah, thank you guys, by the way, for doing this bit right now. I'm in the bathroom.
I'm a big dad. I am.
Well, why don't we
D-cups.
Why don't we hook his hands up with your D-cups and see if we have a match?
Bobies!
My hands can fit a pure D-cup.
I'll do a group date.
Really?
Hey, I'm into the group thing.
If any woman goes out with Tad, it's a group date, believe me.
That's true.
It counts as 3.5 Tad normal human beings.
Tad walks alone to his car every day. It's a group date. All right, look, I have no time for you, Leah. We heard that you were interested in Big Tad. You said you're a big fan of Big Tad's. Now
big
we
fan.
Produce
I big...
big interest. All right, that's enough. I grow weary. Listen, you know what I'm tired of? Maybe it's just me because I'm bitter. I had some... troubles dating myself in the past. Women, they talk a big story. Oh, I'm in. She's with our friend Steven out in Vegas. She's not interested in Steven, so she picks another guy she's interested in. We then produce that guy, and it turns out she wants to go out with a small platoon of other people during the daylight hours with Big Tad on a nice monogamous outing. Please. Look, I don't mind you not being attracted to Big Tad. Nobody's attracted to Big Tad, but then shut up. Don't pretend like you are. Because women want to have it both ways. A lot of women, they want to shake their ass. They want to be desirable. They want to put on the whole thing and get the attention and get on the radio show. And then once it's time to put up, nothing. We're not saying he's got to, you have to service him via a glory hole. How about a date? You're a goddamn college student. You're right. It's a little early for that. The point is you're a college student in Nevada. Couldn't go out with Big Tad on a date? Not going to kill you?
It's not going to be in the bathroom forever.
No, just the next 9 hours. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We got $100 worth of a Hooters gift certificate to give away. A little trivia contest for you. Ozzy is doing the movie trivia, a famous line from a famous movie given by the famous Oswaldo Castillo. We'll hear it, take the break, figure out what movie it's from and what the line is. Call us, give you $100 worth of Hooters. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's time to play a Guess the Movie Quote with the Adam Carolla Show's movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Which famous movie is this scene from?
What we want here is failure to communicate.
If you can identify the movie, give Adam a call now. 866-901-ADAM. The answer in minutes. And now back to Guess the Movie Quote with the Adam Carolla Show's movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Which famous movie is this scene from?
What we want here is failure to communicate.
Can you guess the movie?
Sean, you have a guess?
$100 gift certificate on the line, by
That's
the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah.
You have a guess?
Yeah, I got a guess.
All right.
Say it.
You want to know what it is?
I was going to ask what part of the country you're from, but what time period are you from? It's from the 50s or the 40s. Go ahead there, Sean.
It's got to be Office Space.
It's got to be. Does it have to be? By the way, when people preface things with it has to be or it's got to be, they're wrong 90% of the time. I would just leave that off. Makes it that much worse.
He's way off.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin?
Yes.
You have a guess?
Yes, that's Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket.
Well, it's got to be. Got to be wrong. Debbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
I'm
can't,
sorry.
Can't use the S word like that.
I'm sorry. I actually was going to say I was just messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came from. Went through that, didn't it?
Debbie, are you drunk?
No.
Really?
Actually, I've been up since like 3:50 in the morning. No, I don't drink at all.
Really? This is what you always sound like, huh?
Seriously, yeah. I had an accident last year, and they had to shove a thing down my throat to keep me alive, breathe.
Now I'm going to hell. I'm sorry, baby doll.
That's all right.
What happened? You were drunk and you fell in the tub?
No, I was chasing after my kids and socks, and my floor is marble. So it's really slippery. It's like ice. Chasing after the kids. Then she was a 4-year-old, and my 12-year-old boy. Trying to get her up. She's really active. She has ADHD. So I was trying to chase her up. We have five beds.
Yeah.
I have five bedrooms, and she's in the one bedroom. Don't use. Just going to use that for storage rather than
Good time. Hold on one second, Debbie.
Yeah.
Hold on one sec. I got to sort this out. Maybe we should go to the refs. Who are going into the booth. They're going to throw this one up to the booth, and the guy's going under the hood. But one hand, I hear supreme white trash. On the other hand, I hear marble floors in a 5-bedroom house. Then I hear the ADHD. I'm confused.
So what you're saying is the ruling on the field is that she is white trash.
Yeah, that's on the field. But I don't know. I'm confused now.
The referees are huddled. It needs to be reviewed
because
ref is already under
marble
the
floors.
It.
You can't put marble floors in a trailer, can you?
Right, so the ruling
sounds
on
like
the,
rich man,
the ruling
poor man.
Right. Is that she is white trash. Well, here it comes out from under the hood.
Yeah, that's what the refs say.
After further review, the ruling on the field stands.
Oh, okay,
right.
Good.
Right.
Close one.
Did not lie.
I can just
Debbie
hear it from my kids.
Debbie, okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I like where I live. It's a 5-bedroom, 2-story house. Very nice. Living
how did
good
this
neighbor.
Lady get a 5-bedroom house?
Dude, I'm a paralegal. I have a college degree.
You don't hear dude.
And I'm going back to school, to law school, to get another degree, my Juris Doctorate, so I can become an attorney.
Well, sound like Def Rat Guy for a second.
It'll be Debbie Esquire.
It's going to be a great. It's going to be a great sitcom. The drunk.
No, I don't drink at all. So, I haven't drank in years, and I'm never going to drink again because I have to take medication.
Okay, so
for
Debbie,
my subdural hematoma.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I had a craniotomy. Oh, they told me I had to take.
It's like Debbie Downer.
Good news is.
yeah, I need one.
I'll have company in hell with the Amishak next to me making his list for eternity. So, Debbie, you were chasing your 4-year-old in your socks in your kitchen. You slipped and you whacked your head.
In my kitchen, I have marble all around different areas and carpet, too, and downstairs. And, yeah, I did.
Right.
I know.
But I don't want to go over
like
all the potential floor coverings.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
I know.
Like,
you had the pergo in the living room. You had the hardwood upstairs.
They thought I
fell down the
stairs. Ceramic
tile in the bathroom. But,
they thought I fell down the stairs because I couldn't. It knocked me out, so I don't know what the hell happened, really.
Right, right. So it was sort of like what happened to Keith Richards when he fell out of the coconut tree.
Probably, yeah. I was in no coconut tree. I was just upstairs in my bedroom. And
hold on.
Down, they came down. My daughter got out of bed, so I had to go chase her back.
Hold on one second again, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Just hang on. I got to talk to the refs. Look. On one hand, the woman has suffered a brain injury.
Right.
On the other hand, she's a professional living in a 5-bedroom, evidently marble cave. I picture marble everywhere. Her shoes are made of marble. The light fixture is made of marble. Everything's made of marble. When she turns the spigot on in her bathroom, marble, liquefied marble, comes out. So on one hand, she suffered an injury. On the other hand, she's doing real well. Is it acceptable for me to continue to make fun of her? Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like it could be in poor taste because of the brain injury. On the other hand, she's a paralegal. She's doing fine. She's going back to college.
So
she lives
refs,
in a marble mansion.
So the refs have already begun reviewing whether or not it's all right. You say it's okay to make fun.
I say it's okay. That's what went on the field. Let's hear what they have to say.
After further review, the ruling on the field stands.
Okay.
So you're allowed.
All right. Good.
Go ahead.
Good news. Debbie?
Yeah.
You fat?
Hell no. 120 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, see, if you're big, you wouldn't have had that subdural hematoma. Would have protected you. A nice thick layer of fat around your neck would have saved you.
That's my sister.
Oh, she's a big gal.
She's a fat ass. Always has it.
Wow.
Layers of an onion, this lady.
Yeah. Keep
what?
Peeling you. Where's your fat sister living?
She lives here, too. Everybody moved here.
Here,
this place kicks ass.
5 bedrooms.
Talking about Las Vegas?
Talking about
the Marble Palace?
Las Vegas. I can't live with her. She's annoying as hell.
Right. Now, do you have a husband?
No. Ex.
She's another sister's
kicked
annoying.
Kicked him to the curb.
Wow.
Oh.
Hold on.
Oh,
one could only imagine how annoying she is. You kicked him out.
I kicked him out. I divorced his butt.
All right. And now you're a single woman.
Yeah. And you know what? I started divorce in 99, and I've never been to a bar or any place. Or
right. Well, why waste
like
your money on booze when you can whack your head on the floor?
I don't. Not everybody's booze goose like this was for me.
Have you heard of Big Tad?
I have heard of him.
He's single.
About him.
He could be a great.
Right now.
He'd be a great father to your children.
I got a guy who.
God.
You do have a man?
My best friend, he says, I wish I would have tried early. He said, but that was in respect to your husband. He says, I don't know how you didn't cheat on him.
Uh-huh. So, Debbie,
deserved it.
Let's get back to work for a second. You are a paralegal.
Yes.
And you go to work every day?
Right now I'm disabled, so I'm off. But I've
hold on.
Talked to my
hold
boss.
Hold on, hold on. We got to get back to the refs now. I feel like because she's disabled at this point, you know, moments ago, I thought she was a working paralegal. Now I realize her brain injury has caused her to have to pull out of work. Now I feel like it's no longer acceptable to make fun of her.
Well,
let's see what the rest
you're
say.
So, again, just to revisit it before it goes to the booth.
Yes.
No making fun of her again.
That's the ruling on the field now.
After further review, the ruling on the field stands.
Oh, okay.
You were wrong. Yeah, you were right, But your instincts made you think, well, should I second guess myself? No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Stand by your first stance.
All right, make fun of her.
Genius. I said, oh, that'd be funny. I know you'd laugh at it if you saw it, but you know what? Huh. Hell yeah.
Yes.
American Genius, I've heard you before my ex, and I remember those.
Well done.
All right, baby.
Like, yeah, you're funny.
Okay.
Smart as hell, too.
Okay, tell you
what. That makes sense.
Thank you, baby doll. Again, I can set you up with Big Tad if you like.
Does Tad like marble?
I'm not ready for anything yet. I'm 75% of the way.
Okay.
Back to normal, but this is not normal.
75%.
Okay, Debbie. Will you take care of you?
I'm in rehab right now.
Don't make me go down to the field again.
Does she know the
trivia? Okay, hold on a second. She's in rehab now, David. I just feel like...
The ruling on the field stands.
Wow. Stop second-guessing yourself, man.
I'm sorry. Lost all my timeouts now. Debbie?
Yeah.
All right, baby doll.
I get up and ramble.
Take care of yourself. Put some carpet down in
that
hallway.
We're making Stanley Cup contenders, the Niedermeyer brothers.
Carpet too.
Okay. All right.
Carpet in both the living room.
Well, we're going to get your number because we need to check in with you from time to time, check on your progress. All right?
I'll be.
All right. And again, your answer was Rain Man.
I told you, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I'm playing a game. I forgot.
All right, let's just declare a winner, Paul.
What we have here is failure to communicate.
Right.
Coy and Luke.
Right. That's right.
You're the winner.
That's right. Nice job.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had to wait through all that. We're going to give you a gift certificate to Hooters. Now, put you on hold. We need to move forward here. Now, the Niedermeyer brothers. From the Mighty Ducks.
Anaheim Mighty Ducks doing beautifully. 3-0, up 3-0 in their playoff series right now and hurtling towards the Stanley Cup semifinals.
They're on the phone. Now, we were going to do news and sports, but I got caught up with our last caller. But you guys are on now. Robin, Scott?
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not bad.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
And may I like to welcome you to the show. Is that me echoing in my own head? Oh, it's them. Dave, talk into your mic, see how it sounds.
Hello? Niedermeyer's?
Yes, hello.
What's happening?
We can hear you.
All right, terrific. Hey, listen, are you as excited as I am about the possibility, not just of the Ducks moving on, but also of the Sharks moving on, creating a matchup of Teemu Selanne, the best name on your team probably, and Jonathan Chychrun, the best name in all of sports?
Well, I mean, we still, both teams.
They're over the moon, Dave.
Yeah. You know, hockey's the type of thing where you don't want to get too carried away. That's your guys' job to get excited about those things, which is great. But we still have one win to do our part of that job, so.
Wow, which one is this talking, by the
Scott.
Way?
Scott.
Very good. Listen, I wrote a song about the whole thing, Chychrun and Teemu. Here you go. Chychrun, Teemu. Chychrun and Teemu.
Sure they play in the locker room,
I'm sure. That's the way it should be. I feel bad, though. I didn't write a song for the Niedermeyers.
That could be tougher.
No, I think I could do it. Let me see here.
Okay.
I wish I were a Niedermeyer brother. No?
No.
Not good.
That's lame.
I'm sorry.
It's not Chychrun Teemu.
How do you fellas think about that?
About that last song?
Yeah.
Poor.
Wow. Being kind.
Now that was Rob who said that, right?
Yeah.
All right. This echo is going to send me into an epileptic seizure.
I agree.
I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, we got to fix it. Otherwise, I'm going to go nuts.
Scott, quickly, and Rob, answer this: which one of the two of you is better? I already sort of have an inkling, but do you guys talk about that? Which one of the two of you is better?
Not really, not anymore. When we were 8 and 10 years old, we were probably competing all the time, but we don't worry about it right now.
Well, Scott, you win Norris Trophy after Norris Trophy for being the defenseman of the year.
Well, I've won one.
Oh, is that right? But you're going to win one again this year, though.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, we play two different positions and do two different things, so.
Wow.
Pretty modest. He's probably the better one.
Oh, see, that's very honest. Well, now, how about this, Rob? Do you get your vengeance, though, with the ladies? Do you do better with the women?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. All hockey players do great with ladies, true. Because a lot of athletes are sort of freakish. They're 7'4" and they're 500 pounds. Hockey players are just good-looking guys, and they're sort of normal size. Nice builds, but normal in the size department, except for Lemieux. 66, yes?
Oh, no, he's a handsome man, too.
Yeah, he's too tall.
Scott Niedermeyer didn't care for him, though, right?
Freakishly tall.
Scott, you don't like 66 Lemieux, true?
Don't like him?
Yeah.
I don't mind him. I don't know him that well.
Arch rivals when you were Devils and Penguins.
Yeah, we played quite a bit against each other, I guess, but he was pretty good.
But you ultimately respect the man.
Yeah.
Terrific. All right, very good.
It's a hard-hitting interview, Dave.
I like it. It's good. It's refreshing.
Should we play the song again? Play the song
Let's
again.
Let's play them off.
Chichu, Temu. Chichu and Temu.
All right, so one more win.
For the Ducks.
For the Ducks.
Yes,
they're moving ahead.
They're now 9 wins away from the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
Right.
That's best cool. wishes to the Niedermeyers and all the Ducks.
Thanks,
guys.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be cheering for you. That was pathetic, Dave.
What part?
I'm ashamed of all the whole part.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
You talked to that lady for 28 minutes. I felt rushed. I didn't get to all my questions.
Uncomfortable asking them which one was better. This is... Let's edit that out of the show, Bruska. We can still do that, right? Run a little long. All right, so
meantime, Jeffrey Ross is standing outside.
Here's what's coming up.
That he's being made
the bearded Jeffrey Ross, the king of the rose, standing out there. Young 13-year-old Christian comedian. Christian the comedian who's going to be performing tonight at the Improv, along with Jeff Ross and many others. They'll be in next after this.
It opened wider than Revenge of the Sith. You gotta go to MapQuest to find her G-spot.
King of the Rose.
Is it true that they give free donkey rides to the bottom?
Jeff Ross, everybody.
Ooh. Come on, Adam.
Very funny, or it would have been if we didn't have a 13-year-old and his mother in studio giving me the stink eye. I was at that roast of Pam Anderson. Jeff Ross, that's why they call him the King of the Roast. Jeff is going to be at the Improv tonight along with many other notables, including Dave Attell. He's taken young Christian, the 13-year-old comedian, under his wing. Now, we first took Christian under our wing when he called up the radio show many months ago to tell a joke. We said, tell your own jokes, write your own material, do original stuff. Then we got Jeff involved. He was his Sherpa guide up the mountain of comedy. And now we have them both in studio.
Grasshopper.
That's right. Chris has no idea what you're talking about.
Grasshopper.
Christian, you're performing tonight for the first time in public, yes?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
A little bit. How much material do you have?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes. It's going to be excruciating.
Depending on the laughs. It could take 10 minutes. It could take 30 minutes.
Right. Or 4 minutes.
Jeff, what do you think of his outfit? Is this a good outfit to go on
I
stage?
I always like black on stage. I think Christian looks great.
Oh, thank you.
But he needs black comics.
I get the feeling he'll dress up a little bit for tonight. We talked about that. If you don't care, why should the audience care?
That's right.
Right.
So, Jeff, you're going to be performing tonight as well. Christian's mother is here. Adrian?
Uh-huh.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, we've been talking all along. People go to school... And everyone puts an emphasis on education. Meanwhile, 85 to 90% of the people I went to high school were not going to college. It would have been nice if they just focused on their strengths. If you're good with your hands, do pipe fitting. If you're good with your mouth, get into comedy or prostitution, depending on your male or woman. The point is you'll know what you should do about 16 or 17 years of age. Why pretend all the years of junior college and pretending like you're going to do something with a degree you'll never get, and if you do, you'll never use it? Christian's funny. He's a comedian. He's 13. It's high time we recognize it.
Well, he's out of school.
He is. You have him out today.
We've taken him out for the rest of the week, and if this goes good, he's not going back.
What a mom! Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Listen, cable, you watch the History Channel and all that stuff now. If you have basic cable, you'll learn everything you need to know from television. Jeff, by the way, attended Boston University. Not sure if he graduated, but either way, you knew you were going to be a stand-up, right?
Well, I knew I was going to do something in the comedy business.
Right.
I worked in radio first, and I realized that that didn't pay, so I had to get up in the middle of the night and park in your stupid parking structure.
Right. So
I went into comedy.
Early, yes.
When they valet your car when you show up at the club.
We look at it as doing an early morning show. Jeff looks at it as a late, late night
show.
This
is a late night gig for me.
All right.
I don't know how you do it. 4 hours a day. It's like a treadmill to oblivion.
We'll hear some of Christian's comedy coming up after this. Jeff, you'll do a little one-on-one critiquing,
yes.
Maybe a little fine-tuning before tonight's big show.
Warming up my opening act.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some original comedy from Christian, the 13-year-old comedian.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla Show, boy. This is the Drunk Tree mascot. What do you want me to read this? The Adam Carolla Show, you're listening to it. And you can give him a call at 866-901-ADAM. I think I'm going to puke.
The Adam Carolla Show. Smarten up. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
That sounded like crying, huh? Jeff Ross in studio. Yo. He's going to be at the Hollywood Improv tonight, and then he's not leaving. I don't know what he's doing Thursday, but Friday, he's going to bang waitresses Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, more great comedy.
Great club.
At the Hollywood Improv. It is a great club. Christian, 13-year-old comedian here with his mom, Adrian.
Much handsomer than I thought he would look.
He's good looking. We'll have to ugly him up. Get some battery acid.
He'll be my fluffer tonight at the Improv.
Oh, his mom is standing right there.
Well, she can join in if she really wants to.
Yes. Hot blonde mom, by the way.
It's Mother's Day.
Yeah. Not for you, not for your penis, for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Christian, give us a little of your original comedy, a little snippet of what we could see tonight or hear tonight.
Stand up, kid. Stand up.
Yeah, and stand
Move
up.
This chair.
This is a dress rehearsal.
Kid. For the first time anywhere, a dress rehearsal. My good friend Christian, everybody.
Thank you. I hit the honorable mention. It goes first place, second place, third place, and honorable mention. How can you tell your parents? Mom, I got the scores from the essay contest. How were they? They mentioned me. Participant ribbons are even worse. How can you brag? I got second place in the science fair. Well, I got first. I entered.
Yeah. You got one more? It's
right,
good stuff. You don't have to. If you're tapped, save some chi for tonight.
All right, well, that's the honorable mention. When I got, one of the shorter ones.
All right, well, that's good. No, we told them to keep it brief, keep the audience wanting more. We'll see and hear the rest of it tonight.
Are you all right? Are you nervous?
He's nervous.
He doesn't get nervous.
Does he have a curfew?
No.
Ross, quickly, how do you do, all right?
Oh, man, he's going to kill tonight. Are you kidding me? This kid's money.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, he's got no problems here, boss. No problems.
It's all right, though, Christian. One way or the other, I'm going to bring you on as a kid stricken with cancer from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For sure you're going to get laughs, even if the stuff blows. No one will dare not laugh once I give you that setup. All right, Big Tad, still in the bathroom. Big Tad?
Yeah, hey, by the way, I'm talking to Rich Banks right now.
Nice.
Fantastic.
And Debbie, crazy Debbie, suffered a head injury from Vegas, wants to go out with you.
Oh, great. I get a head injury. Girl,
well, listen. Listen. She injured her brain. You have no brain to injure, so you're even.
Okay, I got that going.
Debbie,
hey,
what?
Just to let everybody know on this floor that Jack Silver, mm-hmm. he washes his hands after he goes to the bathroom.
Program director. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Tad will not be performing tonight.
Thank
All right,
God.
Tad.
Yes, sir.
Stay there.
Oh, come on.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Come on.
And everyone within the sound of my voice, please come in and do a number two in our bathroom. Thank you. All right. I want to thank Jeff Ross for coming in here. He'll be at the Hollywood Improv tonight and then again Friday night and Saturday night. And also, Mazel Tov, we must say, to Jeff Ross, the first-time director for his Patriot Act movie, which is a documentary. Fantastic. May 28th coming out on Showtime. Also,
thanks, buddy.
Where My Dog's At, coming out June 9th on MTV2. We'll look forward to having you in and plugging that, I'm
Appreciate
sure.
Appreciate that.
Christian's mom, Adrian, nice job. And Jeff Probst coming up on the show tomorrow, Deaf Rat Guy, tomorrow night. And until next time, I should say tomorrow day. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.